I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. Ground Zero coming to you live tonight. Great show planned for you all. And if you want to check out some of the things we're talking about, you can go to Facebook.com/Ground Zero Radio or groundzeromedia.org, where you can find all the areas where you can listen to us all over the internet and several radio stations listed where we are in your neck of the woods, hopefully. And you can check us out at Twitter, twitter.com/, Clyde Lewis is how you follow me on Twitter. So here's something that's really weird. And this is where, you know, you get into the weird territory and you're saying to yourself, you first go in with a certain idea of how you're going to do a show and what you want to report. And then you stumble upon something that really, really gives you the creeps. And you start saying to yourself, I think, you know, and I was discussing this with my producer, James Evan Pilato. I think we're breaking a story, actually. The first part we're not really breaking, but later on in the show, you're going to hear a story that's breaking. And I don't think anybody else is talking about this, really. Because it was James that brought it to my attention. As we dug deeper, we found that there's a lot of strangeness going on in the background. And we want to deliver it to you tonight and get your opinion on this. A week ago, if you remember, Christian televangelist John Hagee showed up on Fox News to tell us all about the Blood Red Moon Tetrad and how in no certain terms spelled out our doom here on Earth, saying that the Tetrad, the Red Blood Moon, is a symbol of death and destruction and doom. Four Blood Red Moons on the Feast of the Jews can get all sorts of Christians looking for signs and wonders indicating that the Second Coming is near and that the Tribulation is about to begin. So far, though, the Blood Red Moon's influence, really nothing too catastrophic, unless you count what happened with the Korean ferry. But beyond that, things are going as usual. We're getting word, though, that the government is doing a lot of land grabs that they've impacted or actually impounded Clive and Bundy's cattle again. So there are a few things happening that are kind of, well, we knew they were going to happen because of what's been going on, but you know, as we carry into the end of April, the influence of the Red Moon and, of course, the Cardinal Cross is formed. And this is an indicator of some apocalyptic uproar or some upheaval triggering either psychological changes in the way we see ourselves, natural disasters, and other catastrophes on Earth. Now, not to be outdone, televangelist and failed presidential candidate Pat Robertson spun a bit of doom on his own show, stating that an asteroid, or as he puts it in his folksy prose, a big old hunk of space rock, could be heading our way sometime next week.
I wrote a book. It's called The End of the Age, and it deals with an asteroid hitting the Earth. I don't see anything else that fulfills the prophetic words of Jesus Christ other than an asteroid strike. There isn't anything that will cause the seas to roil, that will cause the, you know, skies to darken, the moon and the sun not to give their light, that nations terrified on Earth of what's happening. There isn't anything that's going to do that, except my asteroid was 1 kilometer. It was 0.6 of a mile, and that was enough to bring worldwide collapse. If we had one that was a mile in diameter, and that's just a big old hunk of space rock. It isn't anything sophisticated. It's just a great big hunk of rock, and there are millions of them. So, hey, just get ready. Get right and stay right with the Lord. It could be next week or it could be 1,000 years from now, but nevertheless, we want to be ready at whatever time the Lord says, I'm wrapping it up and it's time to come home.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thing to be saying, basically, that what has gone on is we found out some information about space rocks that prompted Pat Robertson to say what he said about asteroids, whether it be next week or 1,000 years from now, saying that when he wrote his book, The End of Age, The End of the Age, he was asserting that a meteor would destroy the Earth, and that was, you know, what would trigger the second coming of Jesus Christ. So far, Robertson has not blamed the asteroid on the homosexual agenda or on scores of people that worship Satan. However, I'm told give it time, and he might. But in the meantime, there's a thing that I want to tell you, and as much as I'm ribbing Pat Robertson, what he's saying or predicting is that he may be onto something here, and I'm going to tell you why. because of some recent data. They suggest a dangerous space event may occur. And at first, I was not planning on reporting any of this because I had no idea that this was what was going on. I knew a little bit of what was going on, but then as we dug deeper today into the story, it got more urgent and a little bit more frightening. And the funny thing about it is that it's so ambiguous and so nebulous that, I don't know. It's like you get a clue, you get into it, and you're like reading about it. And so Robertson, you know, he comes on his show and he says, I wrote a book, and then I'll tell you about it, big old space hunk of space rock. And, you know, and he says, well, it may happen next week, it may happen 1,000 years from now. But as he's speaking about this, and this was like Monday, okay? And then, of course, Earth Day was yesterday. And so during Earth Day, they decided to pull this information together. Now, astronauts, scientists, all coming together. And what was odd is that, okay, a week prior, you can tell that I'm just really nervous about talking about this because it's something we dug up today. A week prior to Earth Day, there was this announcement by the B612 Foundation that briefly had a number of blogs buzzing about possible nuclear tests were happening all over the globe. And so people were saying World War III coming, nuclear tests happening. There seemed to be a number of mysterious explosions that were being detected in various areas, and they were being detected by the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization. And this organization monitors the planet round the clock, listening for infrasound signatures of nuclear detonation. Well, there were also small earth tremors associated with these explosions, and there was plenty of speculation that all of these explosions indicated that various countries were secretly testing nuclear bombs around the world, which would indicate that they're preparing for a full-on nuclear conflict. Well, according to a press briefing that's provided by the B612 Foundation, all of these rumors about nuclear testing have been put to sleep. Why? Because between the years of 2000 to 2013, the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization detected dozens of massive explosions in our atmosphere. Not a single one of those explosions detected were attributed to a nuclear detonation. They were surprised when they found out that the causes of the explosions were asteroid impacts. I'm not kidding you. Between the years of 2000 and 2013, there were 26 reported asteroid impacts on this planet. Once again, some of them were direct hits to the planet, and many of these others were in the atmosphere. But these impacts, most of them, took place in remote areas of the Earth, mostly in the oceans, mostly the Pacific, the Indian Ocean, and several other places. The impacts, according to this study, had the power that ranged anywhere from 1 to 600 kiloton explosions. So if you want to do some comparing here, the atomic bomb that exploded and destroyed Hiroshima in 1945 was only 15 kilotons. And the explosions that they were detecting, the explosions that the B612 Foundation said that they were detecting, ranged anywhere from 1 to 600 kiloton explosions. And many of the other asteroids that were detected exploded too high in the atmosphere to damage things to, you know, too much and not to feel on the ground. So that made it through, and some of them exploded in the ocean. So the atmospheric explosions that were detected were very powerful and caused the sky to hum or even ring in some areas. Now, remember those strange noises that people were picking up on where they were hearing the horns and the trumpets? Well, what that is that was ring from these huge 600 kiloton explosions. They called them space quakes or sky quakes. So you have the atmospheric explosions. You have the strange sounds that were detected, very powerful, caused the sky to hum, ring, do that sort of thing. It's now becoming less rare, according to what these astronauts had said, according to the foundation here. They're saying it's becoming less rare for these events to happen now. And while any asteroid taking out a major city is still considered an event that happens only once a century, the odds are increasing that a space rock could impact the Earth and cause damage and or death. Now, we don't know when this asteroid will hit, but there's plenty of strategy for predicting and preventing massive mega death events But they're saying that a lot of it has to do with, get a load of this, blind luck. It's blind, dumb luck that's keeping us from being hit by these asteroids, according to some of the astronauts. That is a little frightening. And it gets even worse, because what we were tipped to today had us digging deeper into some other information that will shock you about space dangers. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero. So during the 700 Club, reporter on that program, along with Pat Robertson, is talking about how astronauts are now saying that we're having more frequent impacts with asteroids here on planet Earth. 26 were counted, and it was by accident that these were counted because of the fact that infrasound was being detected by the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization that basically monitors whether or not nuclear detonations are being had on the planet. They counted 26, but when they investigated them, they found that none of them were nuclear detonations, that they were simply asteroid or meteor explosions and impacts on planet Earth. This prompted Pat Robertson to go absolutely crazy. He was tickled to death, and he said this.
I wrote a book. It's called The End of the Age, and it deals with an asteroid hitting the Earth. I don't see anything else that fulfills the prophetic words of Jesus Christ other than an asteroid strike. There isn't anything that will cause the seas to roil, that will cause the, you know, skies to darken, the moon and the sun not to give their light, that nations terrified on Earth of what's happening. There isn't anything that's going to do that. My asteroid was 1 kilometer. It was 0.6 miles, and that was enough to bring worldwide collapse. If we had one that was a mile in diameter, and that's just a big old hunk of space rock. It isn't anything sophisticated. It's just a great big hunk of rock, and there are millions of them. So, hey. Just get ready, get right, and stay right with the Lord. It could be next week, or it could be 1,000 years from now. But nevertheless, we want to be ready at whatever time the Lord says, I'm wrapping it up, and it's time to come home.
According to the B612 Foundation, between the years of 2000 and 2013, there were 26 reported asteroid impacts on Earth. Once again, these were direct hits, atmospheric explosions, and they had the power of anywhere from 1 to 600 kilotons. And if you want to compare that, Nagasaki, Hiroshima, 1945, those were only 15 kilotons. So these are huge explosions being detected. Well, when they were asking the astronauts at the press conference, how is it that we've avoided any kind of problems? Well, they say, well, it was just blind luck that no asteroids have hit a major city.
Happy Earth Day, everyone. Before we celebrate, we should take a moment to be thankful that we live on this beautiful planet and cherish it for the time being before an asteroid destroys it. According to physics and astronomy professor Peter Brown of Western University in Canada, there have been 26 multi-kiloton explosions since 2001, all due to asteroid, thus meteorite impacts. A video released on the B612 Foundation's website shows all the impacts from the last decade, at least the documented ones. The energy of the asteroids ranged from between 1 and 600 kilotons. In comparison, the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima exploded with an impact of 15 kilotons. But lucky for us, most of these asteroids have entered the atmosphere, become meteorites, and then exploded, landing mostly in the water if they do reach Earth. Former astronaut and CEO of the nonprofit B612 Foundation, Edward Liu, says the likelihood of such an impact was considered to be around 30% in a person's lifetime. Well, speaking of lifetimes, who can forget just last year when an asteroid streaked into our atmosphere and showered the skyline of Chelyabinsk, Russia, as a meteorite with the energy of 500 kilotons. It weighed 13,000 metric tons and measured 20 meters in diameter. Whoa, there she blows. Look at that. And even more terrifying, it entered Earth's atmosphere undetected. Hopefully, if that happens again, we'll be able to watch it through a dash camera, sailing harmlessly into a frozen lake, like we did in this case, or into some abandoned field and not into a city center. Warm, fuzzy thoughts on this Earth Day.
In Chelyabinsk, on February 14th, 2013, when Chelyabinsk happened, the asteroid that exploded over Chelyabinsk, 500 kilotons, and when it exploded, it caused property damage and injured 1,200 people. Now, just 4 days ago, near the Arctic Circle, Russians detected another huge meteor that entered into the atmosphere and exploded near the region of Murmansk. As Newsweek is reporting, footage from a dashboard camera in a car on a snow-lined road in the Murmansk region north of the Arctic Circle showed a bright ball streaking diagonally toward Earth, pulsating twice, disappearing behind a building. This time, it was at 2:14 a.m. on Sunday. It was 22:14 GMT on Saturday. Meanwhile, the frequency of large fireball sightings has increased everywhere across this planet. Many of these fireballs have illuminated the night sky, and in some cases, it created sort of a daylight effect because of the brightness. The meteor that appeared over Chelyabinsk, Russia, last year was 30 times brighter than the sun. A 2013 scientific research paper called Chelyabinsk Airburst, which was it basically gave the damage assessment. Also, the meteorite recovery gave details on this. There were a number of people that were actually questioned on the internet, a survey. And they asked them several questions about what they felt when they saw the meteor. 374 out of, there was like one, there was nearly 2,000 people that were questioned. And a number of people, well, they actually mentioned body injuries or inconveniences. There was about 5.3% that reported sunburn after being exposed to the asteroid. 48% said that their eyes hurt. 2.9% felt retinal burns because of the shockwave. 6.4% reported a concussion or mental confusion, broken bones, either upset or exhausted as a result of the excessive stress put on the body from the explosion. People found it painful to look at the bright fireball, but glancing away prevented lasting eye damage. There are a lot of respondents, too, in the internet survey who said that they were outside at the time. 25 were sunburned, and then 315 of them felt hot, and 415 were warm. People received mild sunburns even when they didn't even see the asteroid. Some said they were way out of the area where this asteroid was seen, and they still felt sunburn, or at least minor sunburn. That's how powerful these asteroids are. And another one was reported just 3 days ago in Murmansk, Russia. And now they're saying the likelihood of us having some impact, a large impact of some great meteorite, higher now than it used to be. And as we dig further, there's an even more serious report coming out of the Council on Foreign Relations. We'll tell you about that coming up as well. Is the big one coming? Are we right? Was Pat Robertson right? We'll be back.
According to SpaceWeb.com, a small asteroid hit Earth yesterday.
We are just now beginning to learn the extent of the devastation. But the reports and images that we've seen, collapsed hospitals, crumbled homes, and men and women carrying their injured neighbors through the streets.
The level of devastation, they say, is staggering. Tens of thousands of people homeless, and people simply sitting in the streets awaiting help.
This is the first major threat from a giant meteor or asteroid.
When a giant meteor plunged to Earth this morning, meteor broke apart, stretching across the sky.
It was a baseball-sized fragment of a comet.
It appears to have broken apart above Woodstock, Alabama.
Now, it is traveling at a speed of 76,000 miles per hour, burning so bright that it was 15 times brighter than the planet Venus.
A lot of people reporting their house shaking or sonic booms.
Radar shows a number of impacts across the state of Alabama.
So this one's a little unusual that it came only 20 miles up, so you have the reports of the sonic boom.
Brighter than the moon.
Very interesting, is something that you do not see every day.
People have been killed and thousands evacuated. People have been killed and thousands evacuated.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. Scientists and astronauts gathering together on Earth Day have said that it's just dumb luck, dumb blind luck, that we haven't had a major mega-death event due to an asteroid hit on this planet. Dumb luck? Or was it divine intervention? And do we just gamble our lives away on dumb luck? 2 days ago, 3 days ago, there was a huge meteor almost the size of the one at Chelyabinsk that was seen over the Arctic Circle near Murmansk. It was amazing. And many people have seen these fireballs everywhere. And every time I get a fireball report, I just wonder just how big it is, whether or not it's bright, whether or not there's going to be an explosion, whether or not it's going to be like it was almost a year ago after the Russian meteor was seen on February 14th, 2013. Now, a quick report was given. It said that we'd be seeing these types of events twice a decade. Now, the new findings confirm that we'll be seeing a lot more damaging space rocks entering our atmosphere, including those that flash and explode in the sky. Now, I remember back when we were first having these events, and I said, with the sweeper effects coming, with all the big rocks that are out there, you can bet that we're going to be hearing about increases of these huge rocks. And sure enough, they are confirming it. They are confirming this. And it's amazing because there's now a fascinating video that I have on my website that you can see where these impacts have taken place. And they give a full report as to where they were or how many they've detected. At least 26. From what I see today in the report.
This is a visualization of what it would look like if a city-destroying asteroid hit planet Earth. And scarily, the chance of an asteroid striking our planet is actually higher than scientists previously believed, according to the California-based B612 Foundation. The non-profit group has released the video in the hopes that it will press home the idea that impacts are more common than we think. The visualization rests on data from a global network that listens for nuclear weapon detonations, which between 2000 and 2013 detected 26 major explosions on Earth. None of these were caused by nuclear weapons. They were all the result of asteroid strikes. NASA already has a program in place that tracks asteroids larger than 1 kilometer. An object of this size, roughly equivalent to a small mountain, would have global consequences if it struck Earth.
Now, you report these things and people think you're a fearmonger. But when scientists are reporting this, you know, before I was saying, well, there's nothing scientific about this, only that it seems only logical that if big rocks are moving through space or other little rocks will be heading our way. And sure enough, they're confirming that this is happening. 26 explosions detected here on planet Earth, all from exploding asteroids. Anywhere from 1 to 600 kilotons. And as we realized by what happened with the Russian incident, there is of yet space rocks that go unchecked that could do significant damage if they impact or explode above the Earth's surface near populated areas. It is a fact that over 300 objects intersect Earth's orbital trajectory each year. They range in size from a soccer ball to the size of Manhattan. And it is only a matter of time before we arrive at the wrong place at the wrong time. Today, for the first time in many years, I glanced at the Century Risk Table, and that is located, you can go to the NASA JPL Near Earth Object Program website and check out the table. There are only a few potentially hazardous space rocks that rank on the Torino scale at a level of 1 or higher. These are potentially hazardous objects, and they are not scheduled or planned to get anywhere near us on a dangerous level until the 2030s or even the 2040s. They're saying maybe by 2036, we may have to do some praying and some white-knuckling because a few rocks are going to be coming close to us. However, it doesn't take a very large rock to ruin your day, as the tables indicate that there are objects out in space ranging from 5 to 10 meters that could widely impact Earth. This happens a lot. They say that once per year we run this risk, and it's dumb luck that we haven't had a mega-death scenario. And it is interesting to note that something the size of 5 or 10 meters can deliver about as much energy as the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima, maybe more force. They usually go unnoticed because most of the Earth's surface is uninhabited, and the energy is usually released high in the Earth's atmosphere, not with impact. And I was looking at a video today. It was amazing that there were some of these impacts and explosions that were detected that were close to where I live on the coast. The Pacific coast, at least 3 or 4. Some in areas of Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand. So, I mean, it's happening, and there are a lot of things going on here, and it just basically confirms what we've been talking about for months, and that is there is an increased risk for you and I to be hit or at least actually be struck by a meteor. Now, it's still, I mean, the risk is pretty high, but yet there is that chance There's that chance that airplanes could be hit by space debris or meteorites. There's a chance that a home could be hit by space debris or meteorite. Or how about this dad in Orlando that claims his son was hit by a meteorite?
Well, a story that is out of this world from Florida. So a 7-year-old was out playing outside his house, right? He was bleeding from the head. Parents were worried, but, you know, their first instinct was maybe horseplay or, I don't know, a chestnut dropped from a tree or, you know, whatever it might have been in Florida. It wasn't big enough to be a coconut, but it wasn't. According to CNN affiliate WPEC, the boy's father thought a bird might have snapped at him. But then he found those little fragments of rock as evidence and thought his son was hit by a meteorite. And you might say, this is crazy. But hold on, because the father had the rocks then checked out, and researchers at Florida Atlantic University confirm that they all meet meteorite criteria, including magnetic pull. These are things you never thought you needed to be afraid of with your children. Isn't that scary?
So, yeah, when you go outside, you don't say to the kids, hey, watch out for falling rocks. Hey, Chicken Little, the sky's falling. Don't worry about that too much, right? Okay. So, we discussed, actually briefly, James Evan Pilato and I discussed the situation with the B612 Foundation and their findings and the nuclear tests finding these explosions, infrasound explosion. And James says to me, he says, well, have you heard about the CFR report? And I go, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, well, I heard something about how there's a report, a rumored report going around about the Council on Foreign Relations and how they too are concerned about these types of activities. And so I went to the Council on Foreign Relations site to see if they were talking about it. Couldn't find a thing. Then all of a sudden I saw it just like popped out at me and I'm like going, you've got to be kidding me. It was a memorandum. It was on the site. It was called Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum Number 21. Now remember this. Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum Number 21. Now, at first I thought, oh, this is going to be just a simple CFR report claiming a bunch of stuff that's already been talked about with the B612 report, right? Okay. So the words space dangers show up. And the concerns that are raised by the Council on Foreign Relations, they've issued this report seemingly in tandem with the Earth Day announcement saying that it is critical to act now against the threat of extraterrestrial dangers that could trigger wars or international crisis. I found that interesting. I thought, wait a minute, this isn't just about meteors. This is about something else. They said extraterrestrial dangers can be a threat to interests of countries. It could trigger a war or an international crisis. According to the CFR website, where you, and you can go here, it's called Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum 21. They're claiming that tactical warning indicators would suggest, now I'm not lying here, and I'm not doing this to scare anybody, but I want you to know that this is what we found in this memorandum number 21. It says, tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. Now, this is from the centers, this is from the Council on Foreign Relations, okay? Tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. This is listed in Memorandum 21, Contingency Planning for Dangerous Space Incidents. However, there's no date suggested for the event. I read the memorandum, didn't say anything about a date or time, only that such a space event would trigger a worldwide crisis, including a resource war. Now, remember a while back we were talking about the disclosure situation where Bill Clinton went on Jimmy Kimmel and said that he wanted information about Roswell and aliens and extraterrestrial threats. And he said if it was an extraterrestrial threat, it'd bring the world together, just like what Ronald Reagan said. But, of course, they're both talking about space aliens. Well, this space event, or this dangerous space event that's forthcoming, was not given any kind of description, only that it was released at the same time as this announcement about all these meteors or these asteroids that were creating these huge explosions that were up to 600 kilotons. Okay? So, no date suggested, just dangerous space incidents, overview of contingency planning, and this Memorandum 21 that we just stumbled upon. And as we were reading, James and I were shaking our heads going, well, we thought this would be something different. But no, it gets even more interesting. It says, dangerous or potentially dangerous space events also include EMP, or electronic or electromagnetic pulse detonations brought on by nuclear blasts in the atmosphere in the event of war or attack. According to the report issued by the Council on Foreign Relations, quote, tactical warning indicators tend to be more overt. They include significant changes in the alert status or operational readiness of military units associated with China, North Korea, or Iran's missile or space programs. The unexpected announcement of the closure of airspace to civilian aircraft over the territory of previous space launches or preparations for missile tests from satellite launching stations, which are usually detectable days, if not weeks, in advance. Space launches from road mobile missile units, although closely monitored, would likely occur with less warning, if any. Additional indicators include specific space-related warnings or other rhetoric or the declaration of an anti-satellite or ballistic missile defense test, although no warning would be issued. The 2007 Chinese ASAT test that destroyed a low-Earth orbit satellite was not preceded by any specific warnings. So Contingency Planning Memorandum number 21 is talking about the possibility of a space danger that is forthcoming, a dangerous space event that they think that we need to be prepared for. And this was issued on the Council on Foreign Relations site, Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum 21. Not specifying asteroid, not specifying EMP, but covering EMP, covering meteors, covering asteroids, and covering space events, including rockets being launched or nuclear missiles being launched. Dumb luck, right? Blind dumb luck that we haven't had a city taken out by any of this. This is some amazing stuff. We got more to bring you tonight on Ground Zero, an exclusive right here. Don't go away. We'll be back. According to the Council on Foreign Relations, Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum number 21, a piece states that tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. And they're warning President Obama that we need to take steps to avoid this. And this is also on the heels of a report that was given by a group known as B612, where they stated the same thing, saying, well, we've got 26, between 2000 and 2013, 26 reported asteroid impacts on Earth, 1 to 600 kiloton explosions. B612 Foundation, if you want to do this research. It's provided by the B612 Foundation. They chose Earth Day as the day to decide this, to report this, saying between the years of 2000 to 2013, the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization detected dozens of massive explosions in our atmosphere. Not a single one of those explosions that were detected were attributed to nuclear detonation. All of them were asteroids exploding in our atmosphere or having direct impact on the planet. And then the Council on Foreign Relations issues their Memorandum 20, number 21. I just posted the link on my Facebook page tonight. Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum number 21 saying tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. No date suggested for the event, only that such a space event would trigger a worldwide crisis, including resource wars. Now, I know for the longest time, there have been people who have said something big is going to happen. They always say something big is going to happen, but they never can clarify what that big thing is. And for the longest time, we have been seeing these fireballs in the sky. It was said yesterday that it's by blind, dumb luck that we have not had a megadeth event where an asteroid has hit a major city. Now, we came close with Chelyabinsk, but didn't happen. Nobody was killed. A lot of damage, a lot of injuries, and a report that was issued just this year about what kind of damage was done. People suffering from sunburns, retinal burns, a number of things from looking at the rock. So with an increase of space rock activity, when we've been reported, we're told, well, we're overreacting to meteors, we're overreacting to this. We now are being told that the reality is that there is a potential. There's a dangerous or potentially dangerous space event that is forthcoming. And they're not going to tell us what it is. They're not giving us any dates. They're not giving us any times. But it was enough to report on Earth Day. We've had 26, anywhere from 1 to 600 kiloton explosions in the skies above us or on the Earth. And then the tactical warning indicators that are overt, screaming out to countries like China, North Korea, Iran, those who now have, and in fact, they were talking about India and several other countries that have space programs, that we all, now this sounds like something out of Armageddon, saying we all need to come together and we need to find a plan to avoid this space threat. According to the Contingency Planning Memorandum 21, it states this, quote, "The United States has three primary national interests in preventing or mitigating the dangerous space contingencies detailed in this memorandum, which would threaten the United States or allied space assets and produce mass space debris, imperiling assured access to space." They're very serious about this. They're saying that strategic warning indicators are stating that a space danger is forthcoming, but they won't tell us what it is. If you don't believe me, I've posted the memo on my website, and it's directly from the, actually from the Facebook page. It's directly from the CFR's website. And on my website at groundzeromedia.org, we have posted the information about the nuclear sounds, or at least detecting the explosions with infrasound, saying 26 explosions have been detected so far. So, is it dumb luck that we haven't been hit, or is it divine intervention that we haven't been hit? Because it seems as though the frequency is turning up, and we seem to be getting by with no problem, at least right now. There are times when you report stories, and the stories accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and many people tell you that these stories are not going to amount to much, and they tell you to put them to sleep, and so you think, okay, I'm going to put them to sleep. They're just hypothesis that may not be proven, or they will be proven eventually in news. And when they are, or when some strange stuff happens and it all comes together, you say to yourself, wow. What you're going to hear tonight is the tale of an attempt to do an I told you so story that wound up scaring the hell out of us as we were preparing it for all of you tonight. And so you have to make sure that you get everybody you know to listen to the show tonight, because you're going to be hearing information that just completely blew us away. We first went in with the attitude, oh, this is going to be fun to say, ha, 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 you know, whatever. But then after, it got darker and more ambiguous and nebulous, but still quite intriguing, chilling, compelling, whatever you want to call it. Everybody that does talk show hosts, does talk shows like mine. All the talk show hosts are similar to me. There are a few out there. And, I know that there are others that you listen to as well. Many times you hear on these types of radio shows, something big is going to go down. Okay. How many times have you heard this? Yeah, I've even said it. I don't say it as much because it just sounds so nebulous to say, I believe something big is going to go down, whether it be a remote viewer going on someone's show and saying, I believe something big is going to go down, or whether you hear somebody like Greg Braden say that something big is going to go down, or you hear, like somebody on Fox who's this guy who sees trends saying something big is going to go down. What if I were to tell you that we investigated something, we were having a little bit of fun doing it, and then we realized what this big thing's going to be? And it came from a source that we thought, well, you got to be kidding me. We had no idea that they were saying this. Now, what it does is it all goes back to when John Hagee went on Fox News and he wanted to tell us all about the tetrad. Now, we've talked about the tetrad, which, of course, is the blood red moon tetrad, and how it would spell doom for everybody. It's a doom sign. It's a portent for doom, right? Four blood red moons. Boy, that's big time. And, of course, we're having the four blood red moons on the Feast of the Jews, and it gets all of us who are spiritually, focusing on the skies as signs of the times. You know, we look for signs and wonders indicating whether the second coming is happening or whether the tribulation is about to begin. So far, we've got the blood red moons that are influencing us and carrying us to the end of April. The cardinal cross is formed. This is also a sign of chaos that's at hand, indicator of apocalyptic uproar, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when you talk about this stuff, of course, Hagee talked about it. We talked about it. I'm sure that George Norrie has talked about it. Several other people have talked about it. The four blood red moons. People go, well, what are you talking about this for? This is all fear mongering. Well, it's because it's interesting for one thing. And the other thing is that, we haven't been actually in this situation, and it won't happen again for another 30 or 40 years. Well, not to be outdone, 700 Club was on the other day, and Pat Robertson was tickled to hear that there was a new report that was being issued about asteroids. And it was a report that said that there were 26 asteroids that were detected that had impact on the Earth from the year 2000 to 2013. Now, this was announced on Earth Day, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but listen to Pat Robertson's reaction to this report that there were many asteroids that were detected on the Earth between the year 2000 and 2013.
I wrote a book. It's called The End of the Age, and it deals with an asteroid hitting the Earth. I don't see anything else that fulfills the prophetic words of Jesus Christ other than an asteroid strike. There isn't anything that will cause the seas to roil, that will cause the, you know, skies to darken, the moon and the sun not to give their light, that nations terrified on Earth of what's happening. There isn't anything that's going to do that. My asteroid was 1 kilometer. It was 0.6 miles, and that was enough to bring worldwide collapse. If we had one that was a mile in diameter, and that's just a big old hunk of space rock. It isn't anything sophisticated. It's just a great big hunk of rock, and there are millions of them. So, hey, just get ready, and stay right with the Lord. It could be next week, or it could be 1,000 years from now. But nevertheless, we want to be ready at whatever time the Lord says, I'm wrapping it up and it's time to come home.
The reason why Pat Robertson's so excited is because, well, and I was watching this happen. I didn't know what to make of it, but it was a week prior to Earth Day. There was an announced, there was this speculation going on. There was this foundation called the B612 Foundation. And they had a number of blogs, actually a number of people on blogs, buzzing about a possible indication there have been nuclear tests happening all over the globe. These nuclear tests indicate that we're going to be going to war soon, World War III, right? Well, there were these mysterious explosions that were being detected in various areas, and they were actually detected with infrasound by the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization. But what they found out was 26 explosions were not nuclear detonations at all, but 26 reported asteroid impacts on Earth between the years 2000 and 2013. The power of these explosions ranged anywhere from 1 to 600 kiloton explosions. And the number of scientists and astronauts that were with this foundation, B612, stated that it's just blind luck that no major city's been hit by one of these asteroids.
Happy Earth Day, everyone. Before we celebrate, we should take a moment to be thankful that we live on this beautiful planet and cherish it for the time being before an asteroid destroys it. According to physics and astronomy professor Peter Brown of Western University in Canada, there have been 26 multi-kiloton explosions since 2001, all due to asteroid, thus meteorite impacts. A video released on the B612 Foundation's website shows all the impacts from the last decade, at least the documented ones. The energy of the asteroids ranged from between 1 and 600 kilotons. In comparison, the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima exploded with an impact of 15 kilotons. But lucky for us, most of these asteroids have entered the atmosphere, become meteorites, and then exploded, landing mostly in the water if they do reach Earth. Former astronaut and CEO of the nonprofit B612 Foundation, Edward Liu, says the likelihood of such an impact was considered to be around 30% in a person's lifetime. Well, speaking of lifetimes, who can forget just last year when an asteroid streaked into our atmosphere and showered the skyline of Chelyabinsk, Russia, as a meteorite with the energy of 500 kilotons. It weighed 13,000 metric tons and measured 20 meters in diameter. Whoa, there she blows. Look at that. And even more terrifying, it entered Earth's atmosphere undetected. Hopefully, if that happens again, we'll be able to watch it through a dash camera sailing harmlessly into a frozen lake, like we did in this case, or into some abandoned field and not into a city center. Warm, fuzzy thoughts on this Earth Day.
Now, just a few days ago, footage from a dashboard camera in a car on a snow-lined road in the Murmansk region, north of the Arctic Circle, Murmansk, Russia, showed a bright light, a bright fireball, similar to the one that was seen over Chelyabinsk, a bright ball streaking diagonally toward Earth, pulsating twice, disappearing behind a building, exploding. The time was 2:14 a.m. on Sunday. 2214 GMT on Saturday. Meanwhile, the frequency of large fireball sightings has increased everywhere across this planet. Many of these fireballs have illuminated the night sky and in some cases have created sort of a daylight effect because of the brightness. The meteor that appeared over Chelyabinsk, Russia, last year was 30 times brighter than the sun. There was also a damage assessment that was released just recently where they had polled a number of people that were involved with the event that took place last year, talking with a number of them who that sustained retinal burns, sunburns, shockwave broken bones, concussions, mental confusions, upset, exhaustion, all kinds of excessive stress because of this. Now, all of this is pretty academic for those of you that have been following this program because we talk about asteroids or we've talked about this for some time. And we also stated on previous programs that we realized what happened with the Russian incident, that there are, as of yet, space rocks that go unchecked that can do significant damage if they impact or explode above the Earth's surface near populated areas. It's a fact that over 300 objects intersect Earth's orbital trajectory every year. They range in size from a soccer ball to the size of Manhattan. And it's only a matter of time before we arrive at the wrong place at the wrong time. And today, for the first time, while doing research for tonight's program, first time in a long time, I checked the Sentry Risk Table, which is maintained by NASA JPL Near Earth Objects Programs, the NEO programs there. There are only a few potentially hazardous space rocks that rank on the Torino scale of 1 or higher, meaning that they're very dangerous. There are not scheduled or planned to get anywhere near the planet until 2030, well, from 2030 to 2040, about a 10-year window there. However, it doesn't take a very large rock to actually cause problems on the planet, as we can see with the Chelyabinsk situation. Anything ranging from 5 to 10 meters wide, impacting the Earth about once every year, can deliver as much energy as the atomic bomb that dropped on Hiroshima. They usually go undetected because most of the Earth's surface is uninhabited and the energy is usually released high in the Earth's atmosphere. However, as we were doing research on this program, my colleagues, actually James Evan Pilato, brought my attention to a report that was filed by the Council on Foreign Relations that he said was an answer to this program. However, as we dug deeper, we found that it was an independent study about space dangers. Coming up, we're going to tell you about a non-specific space event that is forthcoming, according to the CFR's Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum Number 21, which was issued recently, and this is going to make you wonder just what are they planning for? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. I know a lot of people have said the big dance is coming. Well, how are we to know that it's going to be a dangerous space event, which is reported by the CFR? And this is independent from what we've learned about the asteroid impacts, the 26 explosions, all of this. Now it's something else that's out there waiting, and you're going to hear about it coming up on Ground Zero. We'll be back. Before I tell you about what James Evan Pilato and I had discovered on the Council on Foreign Relations website, I want to play you a press conference that was held by Carol Rosen, who appeared on Ground Zero a long time ago, but she wanted to tell us about something that she learned from Wernher von Braun, who was, of course, the scientist that worked on the rocketry program and is well known for our space program as well. Carol Rosen said that von Braun had said something to her, actually divulged some information to her before he died.
Good morning. My name is Carol Rosen. In 1974, after being a sixth grade school teacher, I was introduced to the late Dr. Wernher von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, "Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space." And I said, teachers don't stop until June. He said, "No, you have to understand, this is February, and we have to prevent the weaponization of space because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies," he said, "against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids." And then he would repeat to me over and over, And the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat.
There you have it. It's Carol Rosen saying that there would be the terrorists after the Russian Empire. Then there would be the asteroid threats. And then, of course, the alien threat. Now, many shows ago, we discussed with you something that was said by Bill Clinton on Jimmy Kimmel, and that was that he wanted to have information about the aliens, he wanted to have information about extraterrestrial threats. He actually talked about how if an extraterrestrial threat was going to happen, it would unite the countries together, same as what Ronald Reagan had said. Well, as we were talking today about this information that was released about the 26 known detonations of asteroids that was released on Earth Day yesterday. This is independent of the B612 Foundation. The Council on Foreign Relations released some information that has me a little concerned. They talk about space dangers. And according to the CFR website, there needs to be an emergency meeting to discuss the space capabilities of many nations of the world and their ability to help in deterring a potentially dangerous space event. According to the Council on Foreign Relations website and an article memorandum known as Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum Number 21, it says the following, quote, tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. I'll say this again. According to Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum Number 21 from the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. However, there is no date suggesting when this event will occur, only that such a space event would trigger a worldwide crisis, including a resource war. Dangerous or potentially dangerous space events also include, in this memorandum, electronic pulse or electromagnetic pulse detonations brought on by nuclear blasts in the atmosphere in the event of a war or an attack. According to the report issued by the Council on Foreign Relations, tactical warning indicators tend to be more overt. They include significant changes in the alert status or operational readiness of military units associated with China, North Korea, or Iran's missile or space programs. The unexpected announcement of the closure of airspace to civilian aircraft over the territory of previous space launches or preparations for missile tests from satellite launching stations, which are usually detectable for days, if not weeks, in advance. Space launches from road mobile missile units, although closely monitored, would likely occur with less warning, if any. Additional indicators include specific space-related warnings or rhetoric, or the declaration of an anti-satellite or ballistic missile defense test, although no warning would be issued. The 2007 Chinese ASAT test of a low Earth orbit satellite was actually not preceded by any warning. So they're talking about all of the threats that could come from missile launches, nuclear attacks, and all this other stuff. Well, now, this is where it gets interesting. As soon as you go further into the contingency planning memorandum, talking about how we can use our space weapons to, you know, knock out each other, it says, quote, the United States has three primary national interests in preventing or mitigating the dangerous space contingencies which would threaten U.S. or allied space assets and produce mass space debris imperiling assured access to space. Strategic warning indicators include statements of intention to interfere with or develop the capability to interfere with space operations of other powers during a crisis or during wartime. Evidence of such intent, including research and development or budget indicators, organizational changes or intelligence collection, noticeably increased efforts to disrupt space communications using lasers or jammers or anything else, low Earth orbit satellites, all of this, certain indicators are suggestive of a potential space threat that is in the making. Potential military escalation or onset of conflict could follow this potential space threat. Now, what are they planning for here? This is what, it's amazing to read this, and it definitely makes your eyebrows raise as to what they're thinking is going to happen. They're actually saying that countries like the United States can rally support with China, North Korea, or Iran, prompting space activities intended to confront the potential space threat.
Well, it's just blind luck that the Earth hasn't experienced a catastrophic impact from asteroids big enough to wipe out a city.
Several observations at the ground-based surveillance facilities have confirmed the existence of a 100-meter-wide near-Earth object. This means that there's a 90% chance the object will hit Earth in around 5 hours.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to have to inform you that due to the risk of a meteor strike on Berlin, all flights have been cancelled. Please disembark from the aircraft and return to the departure lounge.
The whole city is completely deserted. Yet many people are gathering in underground stations. The advice seems to be that if you can't get out of town, then get as deep underground as possible.
I wrote a book. It's called The End of the Age, and it deals with an asteroid hitting the Earth. I don't see anything else that fulfills the prophetic words of Jesus Christ other than an asteroid strike. There isn't anything that will cause the seas to roil, that will cause the, you know, skies to darken, the moon and the sun not to give their light, that nations terrified on Earth of what's happening. There isn't anything that's going to do that. My asteroid was 1 kilometer. It was 0.6 miles, and that was enough to bring worldwide collapse. If we had one that was a mile in diameter, and that's just a big old hunk of space rock. I wanna rock! Just a big old hunk of space rock. I wanna rock! Just a big old hunk of space rock. I wanna rock! Just a big old hunk of space rock. Just a big old hunk of space rock. I wanna
rock! I'm Clyde Lewis. You're listening to Ground Zero. It's a big old hunk of space rock. Big old hunk of space danger, according to CFR. The big one? Who knows? Is it big dumb luck that we haven't been hit yet? Is it divine intervention? Yeah, well, you know, everybody's discussing it, but what is this big danger? What are these things they're planning for? CFR says a space danger is forthcoming, and we all need to pull together our resources to somehow fight this space danger, and it's up to the United States to unite all the space programs together to do so. This sounds like something out of Armageddon, the movie Armageddon, but of course, this is the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, putting this together. Meanwhile, so the Council on Foreign Relations is urging the United States, China, North Korea, and Iran to mitigate or prevent dangerous space incidents and limit the multiplication of space debris that threatens space assets of all countries involved. In other words, space debris comes from what? These near-Earth objects hitting satellites, taking out space platforms that may be up there that we don't know anything about, space planes that are following the Earth, these types of things. It's interesting to note that back when Ground Zero was investigating the possibility that space debris or perhaps even an asteroid or meteor was responsible for downing Malaysian flight MH370, a potentially dangerous fireball shower was seen all over Eastern Asia at the time it took off. There was also a study that was released that indicated that more than 38 large debris objects have re-entered the atmosphere since the beginning of 2012. According to a Cayman Compass report, Washington's Federal Aviation Administration, the Office of Commercial Space Transportation, and the U.S. Department of Defense have developed aircraft vulnerability models concluding that a fragment as small as 300 grams would prove catastrophic to aircraft, particularly if penetrating the fuselage or fuel tank. It seems the attitude about the rarity of such events is changing, and while astronauts are giving us chilling findings about potentially hazardous near-Earth objects exploding with the force of 600 kilotons, the CFR is confirming that the United States needs to leverage its influence to develop a foolproof contingency plan to prevent a space danger from occurring in the very near future. However, they will not tell us when that future is or how soon it will happen. It's just nebulous and it's kind of spooky. Let's go to Brad in Texas, KLBJ. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Clive. Thanks for the show. I was going to tell y'all a story about nearly being hit by a meteor when I was a kid, 12 years old, flying in a light aircraft with my family, coming home from San Antonio to Austin one night, right after dark, and we're just east of San Marcos, Texas, and my mom starts yelling out the front of the airplane, "Look, look, look." And we all lean forward. We're in the back seat, and we look forward, and we can see this roughly basketball-sized turquoise ball coming down out of the sky. And my dad, thinking, you know, we'll be able to see it if he turns the airplane, it's a high-wing airplane, he turns to the right, and right as he does that, this thing goes right under the wing, right where the wing had just been,
right,
and kind of flashes and breaks up going down the side of the airplane. We could see the little parts of rock coming off of it. And we're all sitting there going, wow, look at that. Can you believe what just happened? And it started dawning on us that we just about got killed. And my dad calls the Austin controller and says, hey, we just about got hit by a meteorite. And the guy kind of goes, uh-huh. So we fly on, and we land out at the little airport where we kept the airplane. And we're telling the guy who owned the place what happened. He's going, no. You don't understand. You know, those things look like they're right in your lap and be 1,000 miles away. Well, about that time, the phone rings, and it's the Austin controller. So you got that pilot out there who claimed he almost got hit by a meteor, yeah? And so my dad's thinking, okay, they're going to ask me what I've been drinking. And he gets on the phone and said, are you the guy? And they determined, yeah, that he was the guy. And he said, would you mind calling the DPS and telling them that you're okay? Because we had like 100 phone calls from the San Marcos area, you know, people saying they saw a little airplane almost get hit by a meteorite.
Really?
And so, yeah, it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, isn't it interesting? I had a friend of mine, this kind of reminds me of a friend of mine in Salt Lake City, a tornado touched down, and she stood there watching it coming toward her. She didn't know whether to run or to watch it because she's never seen a tornado in her life, and she realized that if she didn't hide, she'd be taken in and killed by this tornado. So, you know, being in an aircraft and seeing a huge blue ball coming at you, noticing that it's a close call and going, whoo, that was brilliant, but we could have been killed. I can just imagine what was going through your head at the time that you saw that meteor come close to your aircraft.
Well, yeah, and like I say, it would have been very catastrophic very quickly, I'm sure. But, you know, we're here by the grace of God, so you know, what are you going to do?
So, yeah, you know, it brings up that story again. Is it all dumb luck or is it divine intervention? Sometimes I wonder. If they're saying that we've had like 26 in the past decade that they've detected explosions ranging from the power of 1 to 600 kilotons, that's a lot of firepower coming out of the sky. And why haven't they reported that, and why have they waited to report until now? They're telling us now we have this potential space danger happening. The CFR, apart from that report, says a space danger is forthcoming, but they don't say what it is.
Well, they want us all to be able to sleep at night, right?
Right. So, you know, you never know. Well, it's like Pat Robertson said, it could be next week or 1,000 years from now. So, you know, he was pretty tickled. He was like, wow, I got this. You know, it was kind of weird and morbid in a way, but still, it was it was interesting to see how he reacted to that. I appreciate it, Brad. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. Take care. Good night. Let's go to Joel in Texas. Listen on KLBJ. KLBJ, you're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
How are you this evening?
Doing well.
I heard you say Pastor Hagee's name, and it kind of made my ears perk up. I was working for him back on when September 11th hit on his ranch, which when he interviewed me, I asked him, why did you buy this thing out in the middle of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
His response was kind of, you never know what might happen one day. And later on, we were testing helicopters. I was like, why are you getting a helicopter? He was like, I want to be able to get from San Antonio to here in a heartbeat. When September 11th hit, he was out there in a heartbeat. And I have a brother-in-law who works for NASA. Suddenly, him and my sister buy a place out in the middle of nowhere. And he kind of hinted that I might want to stay out in the middle of nowhere where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken to you before, and once again, I'm not as articulate as I'd like to be. But I don't know. Hagee just kind of put that little seed of what if, and he kind of looked at the sky. It was kind of ironic when I heard you talking about this tonight. And once again, I like to deal in facts, and you've always given facts on your show that can be backed up, and I do appreciate the time.
Well, Joel, I thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing that story with Pastor Hagee. I would say this. You know, what we did today was pretty much putting together a show that would say, well, look at this fascinating story about the number of asteroids that have exploded over the planet or that had direct hits to the planet. Look at these remarkable events that take place that they don't tell us anything about until they deliver it to us on Earth Day. But what we were doing is we were digging further, and when we found this undetermined space threat that's forthcoming, according to the CFR, that's when our eyebrows raised. And a number of people have said on several shows that the big one's coming or something big is about to happen. We're hearing about Federal Emergency Management Agency putting together, stocking up on food, stocking up on bullets, stocking up on all these things. You know, it all goes back to the idea that, you know, NASA used to tell us, don't worry about a doomsday. Now it seems NASA has been the purveyor of doomsday stories. it seems that astronauts now are opening up and saying we need a space program to combat these problems and get things up in space to warn us. And now the CFR puts out a memorandum that states a space danger's forthcoming, but they won't tell us what it is, and that we all need to work together to combat it, like in Armageddon, like the Bruce Willis thing.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Joel, I thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. You know, and that's the thing. That brings up, what do you think it is that we have to combat? I mean, I was kind of joking and saying, you know, I don't want to say it's aliens, but could it be aliens? Or are we combating a giant space rock that's heading our way that they won't tell us anything about? Now, we know that discussions were had between the Pope, the Queen, and the President about these extraterrestrial situations. We have every reason to believe that something is out there, something that is either wonderful or scary or unknown. We have the report that was just released by the astronauts that said we've had these events taking place between the year 2000 and the year 2013. And then we have the CFR saying an unspecified space danger is forthcoming. So what do you think it is? Do you think that maybe this, I mean, look, if it was a meteor threat or if it was an asteroid threat, do you think they'd come right out and say it, or do you think they would keep it hush and just say it's a space danger? Or if it was a space danger where they couldn't say what the space danger is because of the fact that it's some, I don't know, strange alien race coming our way, do you think that's why they were being vague about this whole thing and talking about it from a military stance and the urging of the United States to talk with China, India, Iran, all of these countries that have space programs, trying to urge them to combat this foe together, to work on this project together? It just sounds really convenient. It either sounds like they're preparing for some space war or some war in heaven, or that this unspecified space danger could be alien, or it could be something. I don't know. I want to know what you think it is. I want to know what you think this is. You think it's something natural, like we all have to team together to combat some big asteroid that's coming our way they don't want to talk about? Or is it an alien threat? You heard what Carol Rosen had to say. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Under the cover of night, anything goes. KXL After Dark.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
I've had a few emails tonight telling me that this is an exaggeration. This isn't really happening. Well, I'm reading right from the CFR site. Certain indicators are suggestive of potential military escalation or onset of conflict due to an unspecified space threat. These include heightened diplomatic crises involving the United States, China, North Korea, or Iran that could result in terrestrial military escalation and trigger a crisis-related interference in outer space. Militarized tensions or direct conflict between one of the three countries and the United States, a U.S. treaty ally or a non-U.S. ally with known space capabilities such as India or Russia, or an internal power struggle among the governing elites in China, North Korea, or Iran, prompting space activities intended to consolidate domestic power or stoke nationalism. The Council on Foreign Relations is now urging the United States, China, and North Korea and Iran to mitigate or prevent dangerous space incidents and limit the multiplication of space debris that threatens space assets of all countries involved. As reported in Contingency Planning Memorandum Number 21, it states, tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. Once again, Carol Rosen, she appeared on Ground Zero a long time ago and told me of her Disclosure Project speech where she talked about meeting up with Wernher von Braun and what he told her about what the future would hold.
Good morning. My name is Carol Rosen. In 1974, after being a sixth grade school teacher, I was introduced to the late Dr. Wernher von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space. And I said, teachers don't stop until June, he said, no, you have to understand, this is February, and we have to prevent the weaponization of space because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies, he said, against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids. And then he would repeat to me over and over, and the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat.
Amazing words that were given at the disclosure meeting from Dr. Carol Rosen, talking about her meeting with Wernher von Braun, saying that there would be space weapons being set up for the Russians, the terrorists, asteroid threats, and eventually the last card, meaning the alien threat. What's odd about the CFR report that we found almost accidentally is that it states that there is an unspecified space danger that is forthcoming. But they do say that it's up to the United States to somehow bridge between China, North Korea, Iran, India, Russia, to create some sort of space force to combat this type of space threat. Now, this story, of course, this memorandum released around the same time, in fact, Earth Day, when they released the information about the asteroid impacts. This was the B612 Foundation saying that between the years of 2000 to 2013, the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization detected dozens of massive explosions in our atmosphere. Not a single one of those explosions detected were attributed to nuclear detonation. They were surprised when they found out that the causes of the explosions were asteroid impacts. Now, isn't that interesting? So, what do you think this undeclared or this unspecified space danger is, according to the CFR memo, Memorandum 21? What do you think it is? Do you think it's an asteroid? Do you think it's a huge asteroid that we need to fight against? An alien threat? Or could it be something else that we're not even thinking about? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. And what do you think about all of these impacts that have been detected? I think it's just amazing that all these stories are coming out like they are, and it all seems to be fitting into some sort of playbook or blueprint, some cosmic blueprint that we need to pay attention to. We really have no space program to speak of right now. And if those dangers are existing out there, and the Council on Foreign Relations is urging the United States to step up to the plate and combat whatever this nonspecific space threat is, I think it's important that we discuss what it might be and what we think it might be. I really do believe that the Pope had discussions with the Queen and with Barack Obama about what may be out there. And more information, I'm sure, will come as the year continues on. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. No, I'm not exaggerating anything. This is not for drama or play. I have everything posted on my Facebook page. You can look it up. The Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum number 21. And also you can look into the discussion about the 26 reported impacts on Earth provided by the B612 Foundation that, of course, were detected by the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, infrasound explosions that were not attributed to nuclear weapons, but to huge asteroids exploding above the Earth. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More of your phone calls to come right here on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
Some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Stand by.
You have 5 seconds. Five. Information is free.
Four.
Three.
There is
hope. One.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
wait." The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait,
wait."
Give up. Give up. Give up. Give up. Give
up. Wait, Jimmy. Wait, Jimmy. Wait, Jimmy.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. So, an unspecified space danger is forthcoming, according to the Council on Foreign Relations. This is right in line with what Carol Rosen had said when she stated that Wernher von Braun had claimed that the Cold War would happen, terrorists would happen, rogue nations would be on the docket, then there would be an asteroid threat or a threat from space. The final card would be the alien threat. A couple weeks ago, we heard about the alien threat from none other than Bill Clinton on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, echoing what Ronald Reagan had said about an alien threat from outside this world uniting the planet together. The CFR report, Memorandum 21, now stating that the United States should be the country to step forward and combine efforts with other countries with space programs, no matter how rudimentary, to try and confront or at least combat this unspecified space threat. For those of you that don't know, this comes on the heels of another report, the B612 report, which, of course, audio of that conference was released. And here's some information here.
The Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization monitors the Earth around the clock, listening for the infrasound signature of nuclear detonations. Between 2000 and 2013, this network detected dozens of massive explosions in our atmosphere. But not a single one of them was caused by a nuclear weapon. The actual cause? Asteroid impacts. Between 2000 and 2013, there were 26 recorded asteroid impacts on Earth, ranging in energy from 1 to 600 kilotons. For comparison, the nuclear bomb that destroyed Hiroshima in 1945 exploded with an energy of 15 kilotons. While most of the asteroids shown here exploded at too high an altitude to cause damage on the ground, they do remind us that asteroid impacts are not rare. An asteroid large enough to destroy an entire city hits the Earth on average once a century. Because we don't know when or where the next major impact will be, our current strategy for dealing with asteroid impacts is blind luck. But we can change that. An early warning infrared space telescope for tracking asteroids would give us many years to deflect an asteroid when it's still millions of miles away. The next great space mission is protecting the planet. Join us.
B612, New Scientist, that was the report that was given, the audio of this report, about the 26 known asteroid explosions that were detected. Then, of course, Dangerous Space Incidents Contingency Planning Memorandum number 21, which is written by Micah Zenko and Douglas Dillon Fellow, gives us an introduction to crises that can be exacerbated by what can be called a unspecified space threat that is forthcoming, according to the article. And I thought it was interesting that all these things are coming together right now. And the question I have to you is, what is this unspecified space threat? I mean, it seems like everything's going according to plan. What say you? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Israel in Montana. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, Clyde. Thanks for everything, man. I really appreciate your show. I have a slight theory you might want to think about. You just said that our ex-president Clinton said that we have to be ready for a so-called alien invasion that would bring our planet together. Now, saying that, our contingency plan, just in case for meteor debris to hit us, my theory is that maybe the aliens are hobbling, projecting these meteor towards Earth, and they're using that as a distraction, not only to invade the planet, but also to hide alien species in them, so it'll look like it was an accident, and really it's a first wave of alien invasion on planet Earth.
Well, there were two science fiction stories that had that same theory. One was, of course, War of the Worlds, where fireballs were being fired upon the Earth, and in number of versions, whether they be the movie versions or what have you, these fireballs were seen prior to the invasion. And in the newer version, there were EMP pulses and fireballs before the invasion that were causing the problems before the tripods came. And then there's Starship Trooper, where the same thing was happening with the insect aliens that were actually hurling space rocks at Earth and several other colonies that were being established out there in space. So you never know if they have the power to unleash the power of some sort of asteroid or space rock heading towards Earth. If this is what they're talking about, if we're killing two birds with one asteroid, if you want to use a strange pun, then perhaps, yes, that could be a good theory, Israel.
Yeah, because it's interesting how all of a sudden our ex-president Clinton all of a sudden comes out and says what he said about alien invasions and bringing the people together on Earth. And now all of a sudden there's 26 meteors that are either struck or near miss.
Yeah. And exploding, too, with a power of 600 kilotons. That's more than what happened in Hiroshima.
So it's a real coincidence that all of a sudden these incidents are taking place. And so it's like, and, you know, everybody, the government is prepping. We know that already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if the CFR now is getting into the act and they're saying what they're saying, and they're saying that we all need to pull together with other countries, no matter how rudimentary their space programs are, then this is something we need to pay attention to. Now, right now, I'm sure this is not going to go mainstream, but somewhere along the line, someone with more information will be able to give us what is this unspecified space threat that the CFR is talking about, which is something that we stumbled upon today. It was just by accident. What's that?
It's already been proven where NASA sent a rock attached to one of the shuttles, and there was a jerk attached to it. They flew it out. They flew it back. They got that rock. They took a look at it, and his germs survived the reentry of the shuttle.
Yep.
And so they could survive being shielded by a rock that we sent out. And these so-called aliens do have a higher technology than we do. I mean, it's a little too much close of a coincidence that all this is popping up.
Well, I would say yes. I would say that there are too many coincidences here that are indicating that they have some space secret, some unspecified space danger that they wanted to let us know about, but they're not going to let us know equally. It's going to come out little by little. It's going to go with a funny joke told by a president on a talk show to documents that have been released to other information. And now the unspecified space threat that the CFR has now said needs to be confronted. And, of course, this B612 meeting that happened yesterday. I think it's all coincidental, and maybe not, that this is happening. Israel, thank you for pointing that out to me. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
You bet. Bye. John in Maine, you're on Ground Zero. Go ahead. John in Maine, you're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
How are you doing today, Clyde?
Doing great.
Good, good. I've got a theory. And it seems to be that there's a lot of stuff about aliens. I'm not going to argue that I think we're not the only intelligent being in the universe. There's mm-hmm. no way. Mm-hmm. Pretty have to be pretty egotistical to think that. But anyway, we are from the Earth. And the sun is our father, the earth is our mother. We get information from the sun every day since 2012. Their magnetic fields have been changing within everybody. I ask everybody to just go outside, look at the sun, and it'll give you the answer. It's solar flares. It's going to give us a chance to come down and wipe out technology. Complete technology right now has driven a wedge in between mankind and humanity.
That would explain why. That would explain why the CFR is saying that some of the technology that's up there, they call them assets, could be turned to space debris in a matter of moments, and that we would be stuck with not having a space infrastructure if this unspecified space danger was to go down. They would explain a lot
in a nanosecond with a large enough solar flare release, because it's like we're getting hit right now every day with small solar flares that weaken the magnetosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. And that's been happening since 2010.
What about the gamma ray burst, John? What about those things? They've bent the magnetic field or the magnetosphere many times over.
Oh, right, exactly. I mean, even now we're living with a big split in it from so much coronal wind and so much, information or whatever you want to call it, geomagnetic material coming from the sun, that it's split a hole in our magnetosphere. My theory is that we're out of balance with the universe. It happened a long time ago. It takes a long time for things to correct themselves, but they will correct themselves.
Well, now,
this information.
Right. Well, now we have the space danger. Space danger basically confirmed, but it's unidentified, and the time has not been identified either. So it's still, I could say, ambiguous. And I guess if we really wanted to go to a CFR,
well, I would say it sooner than later, personally, because if you look at the timing of how things are happening with the Earth, the climate changes. How the climate changes and some of the other things that are happening magnetically, economically, the government's falling apart. Once again, I'm not a super religious guy, but I did read the book of Revelations, and I relish it because it's pretty much so you can look at a lot of things that have happened versus things that are happening and correlate them to the book of Revelations pretty closely.
So
I mean, there is some things that are off. Yeah.
So what you're saying is that you're putting your vote in for the solar flares, and that how that could destroy space infrastructure, and how we need to team up to combat them. I appreciate that. I'll write that down, that you've said that it's solar flares. I'm just taking a poll to see what this unspecified space threat might be. John, thank you for your wisdom and your words tonight on the program. Thank you for calling the program tonight.
Take care now.
You too. Opening the dialogue tonight, what is this unspecified space danger that the CFR talks about in their Memorandum 21? What about B612 and their report about the 26 detonations of asteroids above planet Earth and on planet Earth, ranging anywhere from 1 to 600 kilotons? Are we in the middle of some space problem that we have to all team together to fight? Remember, if there was an alien threat or an extraterrestrial threat, our differences worldwide would vanish. It seems to be happening, and it's all going according to plan. That is, if you believe Wernher von Braun or Carol Rosen. We'll be back with more. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters Personality of the Year on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
The B612 organization has put out the report saying 26 detonations between 2000 and 2013 of asteroids were detected, infrasound detected, ranging anywhere from the power of 1 kiloton to 600 kilotons. The Council on Foreign Relations has put out a Memorandum 21 stating that there's an unspecified space danger out there. They won't say what it is, but they're urging governments to work together to try and combat it. What do you think that is? I mean, with all the reports of these exploding asteroids, the close calls, another one 2 or 3 days ago in Russia, last year one in Russia, and then, of course, people seeing fireballs everywhere. What do you think is going on up in space that we need to prepare for this unspecified space danger? Phil in California, you're on Ground Zero.
Hello, Clyde. How are you tonight, buddy?
Doing great.
I am going to throw something at you here.
Okay.
Your question of the night is about CFR.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they doing, you know, basically? Well, I think with CFR, since they're all about control anyway,
mm-hmm.
Their idea, I'm thinking it's asteroids. And I'm thinking it's a lot of asteroids, and I'm thinking they're not going to tell us about it because they would cause absolute panic. Well, they can't prevent it, so what's plan B? Okay, so what they're going to do is they're going to prepare for the aftermath. They don't want to cause a panic, but they're going to prepare for the aftermath. So they got to have a cleanup plan. Well, now all this stuff about caskets, you know, the storing up of these multiple body caskets and emergency food rationings, and the government's trying to buy that up, and the CDC's getting into the act, you know, preparing us a while back for zombies. Their plan is to care for the survivors and bury the dead. That's what I think it is. I really do.
Well, they are stating, though.
I'm not clairvoyant, man.
Right.
This is what came into my head when tonight's topic came up. The first thing I saw was FEMA camps, you know, and then I started, while I was driving across the Mojave here waiting to get on the air, I'm getting more of this stuff in it. You know, well, if this is true, well, then this is true. And if that's true, well, then this must be true. So that's all I had to say. I appreciate you taking my call, buddy.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, and I just want to let you know that, you know, the whole thing that we're talking about tonight, to be quite honest, is accidental. I mean, the whole thing was me basically saying, told you so about the asteroids, told you so about the sweeper effects. But then we stumbled upon the CFR document, and we're looking at it going, wait a minute, this is not what we expected. We stumbled upon this little tidbit of space dangers warrant some sort of intervention. An unspecified space danger, we need to take care of it. The United States needs to be at the forefront, stepping up to the plate, working with every known country that has a space program, no matter how rudimentary it may be, to work on the space threat, the unspecified space threat, whatever it may be, whether it's asteroids, aliens, or whatever. And I'm sure that this is something we stumbled upon. I'm sure several other shows will follow suit and investigate it as well, because it seems very interesting that this was released at the same time as this B612 report about the 26 asteroids that have been detected exploding over the planet. So we most certainly, and they said, what, it's blind luck that we haven't had a problem yet? I'm thinking, blind luck, or is it divine intervention? What's going on here?
Clyde, you are so far out ahead of the curve in radio talk. You're like the king. Everybody knows it, and everybody wants to, I mean, they want to be just like you. I want you to know, I mean, you really are way ahead of the curve.
Well,
I'm telling you, what you're talking about tonight, it's not an easy subject. It's not about fear-mongering.
No.
But I guarantee you, CFR is not capable of stopping anything.
Of course they not.
They can get all of the greatest minds in the world, but the bottom line is, if you're going to, okay, in order to form a plan, you have to understand your enemy.
But you know, Phil, that they direct policy, though.
So what's plan B?
Well, yeah.
Prepare for the aftermath.
Yeah, right? They have plenty of underground facilities to do that, too. I was on Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura talking about the Ozark underground facility. So, I mean, you know, there you go. So, Phil, you're the man. Thank you for calling the program tonight.
All right, buddy. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Have a great
good work.
Thank you. Yeah, I was on with Jesse Ventura during the whole Ozark underground facility show. Tracy Twyman was on it with me. It was amazing being a part of that show. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. A unspecified space danger. The CFR is talking about now that the United States should step up to the plate and do something about it. What is this space danger? We'll be back. Keep it here.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Not being your normal morning across Russia, that is for sure. Have a look at this.
Basically, what happened is there was an asteroid which entered the atmosphere and then broke into several pieces, thereby turning into a meteorite. I'm about 9 o'clock in the morning, so...
a sudden you see this absolutely tremendous
flash. It's war
flash.
Of the worlds. We're under attack.
Absolutely. It's actually, that's what a lot of people thought.
We're not under attack. It looked like it though, didn't it?
It did.
So let's stay with this topic of the great unknown that is space. For hundreds upon hundreds of years, scientists from Copernicus to Galileo have dedicated their lives to unraveling the secrets of space. Fear, fascination, all of it has left people around the world vexed. Just a couple of hours ago, a massive asteroid called 2012 DA14 passed the Earth so close that it was within viewing distance. It just missed us by about 17,000 miles, which is actually extremely close. Now, if you thought the meteorite had hit Russia had inflicted a lot of damage, that one was only the approximate size of a kitchen table. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear the terms asteroid and meteor and things like that, I always think of Hollywood flicks like Armageddon and Deep Impact.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and you're listening to Ground Zero. What is this skyfall, this unspecified space danger? A lot of people are reading the memo now and saying that all it has to do with is EMP dangers and the destruction of the space matrix, which, of course, I did mention that the CFR does talk about EMPs and the idea of electromagnetic pulses that could bring down satellites. However, they only mention it like maybe one sentence. And so the interpretation on the internet is that it's all about EMPs. I have an informant on my Twitter right now saying that, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but he is stating, M is the contact. I studied in the European Union and was reading transcripts from NASA at a teleconference, NASA ESA, teleconference to prepare employees for a heliosphere collapse by an electric cloud. A heliosphere collapse could explain anomalous events on many planets, magnetism, also new outer solar system asteroids. Feels like the whole solar system has entered into a shooting gallery, and we are now sitting in the galactic electric chair. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We're talking about this unspecified space danger. What do you think it is? Is it part of this blueprint that Carol Rosen talked about, whether it be asteroids or an alien threat? A lot of people hinting at all of it. But, of course, EMPs from space are pretty creepy as well. Let's go to Steve in California listening on KOGO. You're on Ground Zero. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. I'll tell you briefly what I don't think it is. I don't think it's aliens because if they could get here, there's no match. I mean, we just could never win. It might be asteroids, but again, that's a huge project. If it's something we need to push away, it's going to be absolutely a massive project. So I don't know why they wouldn't begin to let us know about that sooner.
Well, they did. They did, Steve, with the B612 report. They did that on Earth Day. They just sprung it on us out of the blue.
Sure. So that's a possibility, but it might be. Look, we're approaching solar maximum, and so I've heard that it's every 200 to 500 years we get something as big as the Carrington event, which happened in 1859 and knocked out all of the telegraphs. A low-frequency EMP caused by a solar flare like that, which will happen every 200 to 500 years, would definitely knock out our infrastructure. But that is a space-based threat that we cannot do anything about in space. We can only do something by hardening our infrastructure on the ground. And just this week, the government announced that it would only cost $2 billion to harden our infrastructure in the United States to protect us from a low-frequency solar flare EMP, which will happen. That's just a matter of time.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
So you don't fight that in space. You fight that on the ground with infrastructure.
Sure.
So if you're going to worry about something in space that is actually something you can fight, it's going to either be the asteroids, but I think it's more likely to be North Korea putting something in orbit and being able to push a button whenever they want to do a space-based EMP to knock out whoever they want to. One EMP nuke 300 miles over Kansas would, in 1 second, would just not only, it's a high-frequency EMP, so it wouldn't only harm the electric grid, but it would knock out all of our electronics, totally dead, and we would be basically, people would starve to death in short order. Cars would stop on the freeway. There was a great little military channel spot. If you look up on YouTube, you can watch on the military channel They do an experimental EMP and they knock out a car. Car won't start again. So cars would stop on the freeways. Millions of people would be stranded. Millions of people would die of starvation within a few weeks. So I really think that North Korea, you know, just a little bit of homework on those guys, they're absolutely nuts. You know, the reason why they don't have any electrical grid in their, you know, when you look from space and they're just black at night is because they just expect, you know, that sooner or later they would have to, you know, deal with an EMP. So why not just not have an infrastructure that would be vulnerable? We've known about this since the 40s, that a low, you know, only 300 miles up. That's not a long distance to get a nuclear device into space. And back in the 60s, there were experiments over the Pacific, 1,000 miles away from Hawaii.
Right.
We were doing experiments, and you know, even 1,000 miles away, it knocked out some of the infrastructure on one of the islands in Hawaii on accident, and they haven't done any more space-based nuke tests since then. Also, about the asteroids, I don't think we're seeing any higher rates of asteroids in the last 13 years. We're just detecting them for the first time. I'm willing to bet that they've been going along every, you know, at the same rate they've always gone, and we're just now finally becoming aware of.
Well, how long, Steve, how long has this infrasound been on this planet to detect nuclear explosions? It's been around a while, has it not?
Maybe I don't know enough about that, but.
Well, but see, that's the thing, is if you don't know enough about it, what I'm trying to tell you is it's not just like out of the blue they're saying, oh, you know, they're saying that there was an increase, 26 reported asteroid impacts on Earth, and it was done by the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization. Now, that's been around for a while,
and
they've detected the infrasound. I mean, I know you're trying to downplay this whole thing. I don't think it should be downplayed.
I'm not.
I mean, your theory is great about EMPs, but we got to consider these damn 26 reported asteroid impacts. Don't you think?
Hey, I'm not shooting that down.
Okay.
But I do know that North Korea will be happy to hold the world hostage.
You know, Steve,
orbiting new.
I love your EMP theory. It's beautiful. I mean, it's well thought out, and it's damn brilliant. That's why I just sat there in awe listening to you talk about it. So we'll have to keep watch on that and keep watch on North Korea. So I thank you for calling the program. Good stuff.
Sure. Hey,
you have a great night. Take care. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go to Randy in Texas. Hi, Randy. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Going well. How you doing?
How y'all doing, man? I love your show. A while back, man, I was locked up some years ago, and I started fasting and praying and studying prophecy because I didn't understand it. So as I began to study that, man, as I believe, like, the Antichrist is going to take over the world one day. So my question was, how could he take over a superpower like America without something catastrophe happening? So I pondered on that for a good while. Had a dream about a major city blowing up. I saw a city blowing up, and I knew that it was northeast. And then as I woke up, I perceived in my spirit that there was a second city. And the Lord spoke to me, said Satan was plotting to set off a nuclear blast in America. So later on, I end up on another farm, and I was telling a guy about it, and I said, man, I don't know what this northeastern city. So he said, I've got an almanac. So we looked at the almanac, and I knew that it was Kansas City. And so later on, I meet another young Christian. He's telling me he got a dream. I say, well, what's your dream, man? He was kind of leery to tell me. He tells me he had a dream of a nuclear blast. I said, well, tell me, man. He tells me he seen like a nuclear blast going across the field. So I said, where was it, man? He said, I don't know. And then he thought about it a while. He said, Kansas City. So I say, why you say Kansas City? He said, man, I was raised there as a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So I seen the city itself go off in a blast. So now back to this. Kansas City is the heart of America. It's also the heart of the military. Then Beaumont is like, we get all this military stuff come through. It's like the feet of the military, the feet of America. So I'm stuck on that the catastrophe that has to happen for a strong man to take over the world is that. I mean, it's like I know it as much as I know my own name. So
you're siding with good old Pat Robertson on this one, aren't you?
Sir, what'd you say, sir?
I said, so you're siding with good old Pat Robertson on this one, aren't you?
I don't like to really side with none of them guys, man. I'm in the minority because I don't believe like they believe on a lot of stuff. But, okay, the thought that I – the other thought was this. I got a friend in Beaumont, Texas. We were talking about some things about 6 months – well, about 4 months ago, and he decided he's got a cousin that's a CIA agent. his cousin tells him nothing. But he's got another friend that's got a friend that's a CIA agent. He tells me that his friend told him that the CIA agent told him, hey, man, there's a plot to blow Beaumont up. And when it comes time, I'm going to let you know to get so you can get the hell out. So I'm like, man, your cousin didn't tell you? He goes, nah. I said, wow, man. So I'm like, that's confirmation.
Well,
so I believe, man, they
okay.
know. And it's just the old plot. You
well,
know?
Randy, Randy, I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate the call tonight. I appreciate you giving us your prophecy about some sort of annihilation. You know, whenever we talk about Wernher von Braun and whether or not the alien threat or the asteroid threat is coming, I have to do this just for old time's sake, and it's because I do it out of love. Here's Tom Lehrer just to set the night off right.
Gather round while I sing you of Wernher von Braun, a man whose allegiance is ruled by expedience. Call him a Nazi, he won't even frown. Nazi schmatzi, says Wernher von Braun. Don't say that he's hypocritical. Say rather that he's apolitical. Once the rockets are up, who cares where they come down? That's not my department, says Wernher von Braun. Some have harsh words for this man of renown, but some think our attitude should be one of gratitude, like the widows and cripples in old London town, who owe their large pensions to Wernher von Braun. You too may be a big hero, once you've learned to count backwards to zero. In German or English, I know how to count down. And I'm learning Chinese, says Wernher von Braun.
Wernher von Braun told Carol Rosen that in the future we would be seeing the space weapons being put up into space to fight off things like asteroids, and perhaps the last card would be the alien threat. Well, now unspecified space threats are being spoken of by the Council on Foreign Relations. But what is the space threat? A lot of people are saying it's just the EMPs being released by the sun flares or the solar flares. Others think it's the asteroids. After all, we did have that report from B612 about the 26 detonations of asteroids above the planet and on the planet. So what do you think it is? Is it asteroids? Is it solar flares? Is it something we haven't thought of? Or could it be aliens? Who knows? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More to come. Keep it here on Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
KXL. Suspending reality nightly.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Let's go to Kathy now in Oregon. Kathy, hi, you're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Mr. Lewis.
Hi.
May I say, first of all, a compliment. Who pay you isn't paying you enough. Because I have learned so much from you. I've been listening to you for years. I take notes. I've learned more from you than I could have ever learned going to college, had I have been able to afford to go to college, if you know what I mean.
Well, thank you.
My feeling on this is that this is finally the year that our government is going to reveal that there are indeed UFOs. We've been visited and so on. There have been different remote viewers and other people who have predicted this, especially since about 2012 or so.
Yes.
That this is going to be the year. Furthermore, I think as far as like the FEMA camps, I think those are to protect the elite people, the people that will be the New World Order with their underground bunkers. They're actually underground cities. I really do believe that. I don't think that they're collecting all this stuff to protect people like you and me. They're doing it to protect the big shots, you know.
Well, that's what we were finding when we did the investigation on conspiracy theory, that this is how the elite are going to go underground. Some of them, like we got the Denver airport, the Ozarks, several other places around the country with their underground bunkers for them to stay. And they're going to be there while we're fighting over the last crusts of bread in some disaster or, like, for example, EMP, grid shutdown. Who knows what it might be? These are some things that, I never really would have talked about if I hadn't stumbled upon the CFR memo that was put out there talking about EMP blasts, talking about how countries can jam each other, can fight amongst themselves as far as space supremacy. And then unspecified space dangers are forthcoming. That was a sentence that was apart from all the other things they were bringing up. So they brought up a lot of other, I guess you could call, various paranoias about what could happen up in space. But I'm thinking that with all of the indications and the fact that the whole memorandum was put out during the B612 report that was fascinating on Earth Day, if you were to look it up, talking about the detonations of these huge asteroids, or at least these small, huge, whatever, 600 kiloton, I think is a pretty big explosion. I think that it makes you pause about how, once again, as I've said, living on Earth is like being in one big, snooker game. We're bumping into things are exploding. That's how it happens.
Yeah, what I don't understand, Mr. Lewis, is, okay, aren't asteroids cyclical, just like eclipses and full moons and everything? Don't they come approximately about every 100 years that we get asteroids?
Well, they were saying that, they thought that, but now they're releasing information that says that that we're going to be seeing more volume of them. There's going to be a lot more volume. We're going to be seeing them a lot more than we have. And that we're going to be seeing an increase of these massive fireballs that explode over areas. And they're saying it's just dumb luck, blind luck, that we haven't had a mega death scenario or a mega damage scenario because of these large rocks. So I guess maybe it is in cycles. Maybe we are coming into a huge asteroid field, and that these things, big rocks are going to be sweeping other rocks into our atmosphere. They're going to be burning up, and we're going to be having a light show. It's going to be pretty normal to just see these big rocks explode in space. So, I don't know.
It's all happening.
Yeah, it is. We're living in those times, remarkable times we're living in. Kathy, thank you so much for calling my program tonight.
Oh, okay, Clyde. Thank you very much.
You have a great night. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More Ground Zero to come. We got a line open. You can call in tonight and give your opinion on what these unspecified space threats are that the CFR is talking about. Jamming, space infrastructure, space wars, unspecified space threats, and the ability for the United States to team up with other nations to try and prevent these things from happening. Sounds like something that Ronald Reagan had cooked up, or Wernher von Braun. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
Hello. You are about to experience Ground Zero, an odd speaker experience. Cuts through the crowd.
Just when you thought you were safe.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said, the loudspeaker spoke up and said,
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. It's always, I guess, It never ceases to amaze me that, you know, when I come into work, I have ideas and I'm saying, this is where I'm going to go with the show. This is what I'm going to talk about. And I consult with, you know, my staff, and I consult with friends, and I talk with Janine, and I talk with all these people who, you know, I just say, this is some ideas I have going on. And then every once in a while, something happens where, like today, James Pilato said to me, did you read the CFR statements? That there's something happening with some unspecified space threat. I said, no, I haven't. And see, this was after I was all ready to talk about this B612 Foundation, which yesterday held a press conference, and according to a press briefing provided by the B612 Foundation, between the years of 2000 and 2013, the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization detected dozens of massive explosions in our atmosphere, and not a single one of those explosions detected were attributed to a nuclear detonation. They were surprised when they found out that what caused the explosions were asteroid impacts. You see, between the years of 2000 and 2013, there were 26 reported asteroid impacts on Earth. Once again, these were direct hits or perhaps atmospheric explosions that took place in remote areas of the Earth, mostly above the oceans, mostly in remote areas. The impacts had the power that ranged anywhere from 1 to 600 kiloton explosions. For comparison, the atomic bomb that exploded and destroyed Hiroshima in 1945 was only 15 kilotons. The asteroid that exploded over Chelyabinsk, Russia, last year was 500 kiloton explosion. The atmospheric explosions that were detected were very powerful and caused the sky to hum or even ring in some areas. It's now becoming less rare for these events to happen now. And while any asteroid taking out a major city is still considered an event that happens only once a century, the odds are increasing that a space rock could impact the Earth and cause damage and or death. Now, we don't know when any of this could happen. We don't know where an asteroid will hit the planet. And so according to the strategy for predicting and preventing massive mega death events like this, it's purely blind luck.
Happy Earth Day, everyone. Before we celebrate, we should take a moment to be thankful that we live on this beautiful planet and cherish it for the time being before an asteroid destroys it. According to physics and astronomy professor Peter Brown of Western University in Canada, there have been 26 multi-kiloton explosions since 2001, all due to asteroid, thus meteorite impacts. A video released on the B612 Foundation's website shows all the impacts from the last decade, at least the documented ones. The energy of the asteroids ranged from between 1 and 600 kilotons. In comparison, the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima exploded with an impact of 15 kilotons. But lucky for us, most of these asteroids have entered the atmosphere, become meteorites, and then exploded, landing mostly in the water if they do reach Earth. Former astronaut and CEO of the nonprofit B612 Foundation, Edward Liu, says the likelihood of such an impact was considered to be around 30% in a person's lifetime. Well, speaking of lifetimes, who can forget just last year when an asteroid streaked into our atmosphere and showered the skyline of Chelyabinsk, Russia, as a meteorite with the energy of 500 kilotons. It weighed 13,000 metric tons and measured 20 meters in diameter. Whoa, there she blows. Look at that. And even more terrifying, it entered Earth's atmosphere undetected. Hopefully, if that happens again, we'll be able to watch it through a dash camera, sailing harmlessly into a frozen lake, like we did in this case, or into some abandoned field and not into a city center. Warm, fuzzy thoughts on this Earth Day.
All this information had someone excited, and that, of course, is Pat Robertson of the 700 Club. When he heard about all these explosions and all this other craziness going on in space, not to be outdone from John Hagee's Tetrad predictions, Pat Robertson went on the air and said, I wrote a book all about this, and it's coming true.
I wrote a book. It's called The End of the Age, and it deals with an asteroid hitting the Earth. I don't see anything else that fulfills the prophetic words of Jesus Christ other than an asteroid strike. There isn't anything that will cause the seas to roil, that will cause the, you know, skies to darken, the moon and the sun not to give their light, that nations terrified on Earth of what's happening. There isn't anything that's going to do that, except, but My asteroid was 1 kilometer. It was 0.6 of a mile, and that was enough to bring worldwide collapse. If we had one that was a mile in diameter, and that's just a big old hunk of space rock. It isn't anything sophisticated. It's just a great big hunk of rock, and there are millions of them. So, hey, just get ready, get right, and stay right with the Lord. It could be next week, or it could be 1,000 years from now. But nevertheless, we want to be ready at whatever time the Lord says, I'm wrapping it up, and it's time to come home.
Now, it is a fact that over 300 objects intersect Earth's orbital trajectory each year. They range in size from a soccer ball to the size of Manhattan. Now, it's only a matter of time before we actually somehow intersect one of these big rocks and we arrive at the wrong place at the wrong time. I was looking at the Sentry risk table that is provided by NASA JPL Near Earth Object Programs, and I looked at some of the rocks that are on the Torino scale of 1 or higher. And it seems like we have escaped some of the potentially hazardous rocks out there. They're saying that we don't have to actually bite our nails about any of them until about 2030 or even 2040. However, it doesn't take a very large rock to actually cause trouble. And as the tables indicate, there are objects out there that are ranging from 5 to 10 meters wide, and they do impact the Earth about once a year and deliver as much energy as the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. They usually go unnoticed because most of the Earth's surface is uninhabited and the energy is usually released high up in the Earth's atmosphere. Just recently, I think it was a few days ago actually, there was another repeat performance of a huge flashing ball of fire that was detected on a dash cam. This was again in Russia, but it was nearer to the North Pole. Apparently, they saw this huge meteor explode. According to Newsweek, footage from a dashboard camera in a car on a snow-lined road in the Murmansk region north of the Arctic Circle showed a bright ball streaking diagonally toward the Earth, pulsating twice and disappearing behind a building. The time was at 2:14 a.m. That's a Sunday, and it's 22:14 GMT on a Saturday. And as we were discussing the findings of the B612 report, James Pilato had brought up to me a report that was released by the Council on Foreign Relations. And, of course, they are a group that direct policy for a lot of the governments in the world. I don't know if they listen to them, but we do worry that maybe this is a body that does direct policy for our government. But they do talk about something that had me a little curious, and that is dangerous space incidents, contingency planning memorandum number 21 that says, tactical warning indicators would suggest that a dangerous space event is forthcoming. And then the report goes on to talk about how spatial infrastructure can be destroyed through jamming and all kinds of other war activities, satellite, low Earth orbit satellites being taken out, EMPs, the idea that space assets could be destroyed, and then mass space debris could actually stop our access to space. Strategic warning indicators include statements of intention to interfere with or develop the capability to interfere with space operations of other powers during a crisis or wartime is evident. And there are other certain indicators that suggest a potential military escalation or onset of conflict, meaning that anything that goes on up in space could eventually lead to an all-out war in the sky. Council on Foreign Relations is now urging the United States, China, North Korea, and Iran to mitigate or prevent dangerous space incidents and limit the multiplication of space debris that threatens space assets of all the countries involved. They're hoping the United States can bridge with these countries to make sure that we have a safe outer space. However, now they're also saying that we should work together to avoid this forthcoming space danger, whatever the space danger may be. And tonight I'm asking the question, what do you think the space danger is? We've heard all of the speculation that it could be something like an asteroid, perhaps a large meteor, perhaps it's aliens, perhaps it's solar flares. What do you think it is? I've had a lot of people email me and text me some ideas, but I want to hear from you tonight about what these so-called potential space dangers may be. Talked about with this Memorandum 21 from the Council on Foreign Relations. Also, if you want to comment on the B612 report and the 26 detonations of large-powered asteroids, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on this, whether or not we may see a huge mega-asteroid hit a city or town. They're saying that the reason why it hasn't happened yet is perhaps blind luck. I say maybe there's some divine intervention at play here. What do you think? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll get your calls coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
Everyone is in on the secrets, and big things are being planned. Call Clyde Lewis now. Ground Zero.
All right, let's go to Sam in Montana. Hi, Sam. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, Clyde.
Hi.
First off, I want to thank you and all your staff just for what you guys do. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
I just enjoy having real truth seekers out there.
Thank you.
But, first off, I want to, you know, I'm not much on the knowledge. I don't think too many are. We just catch facts here and here. But as for the capital T, the real truth of what's going on, I think we're all lost. You know, we can just go with the best speculations we have based on what we're given. Mm-hmm. But you guys seem to give a lot of capital T, which is really nice. And I want to talk about the aliens. You know, first off, I think if there was going to be aliens invading, I think they would have invaded. Why wouldn't they have showed aggression throughout our history? Most of our cultures have, I mean, there's writings on walls and stuff like that. I think there would have been some point of aggression with aliens and stuff. I don't think they're aggressive. I think, if anything, they'd probably come back to help us with the aggressions that we have on this planet now. But, you know, I know of Project Bluebeam, and the original designer for that was scared that the powers of that be could use it for two different reasons, and that's faking an alien invasion, and also or faking like the resurrection, like in the Bible and stuff. And
you mean the second coming?
No, I don't know.
The second coming? You're talking about the second coming of Jesus, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And as for the FEMA camps, you know, I heard one lady mention that they would use them for the elite. You know, they've already proven what they're using those for. In Ohio, they're already starting to lock up the homeless in them. In, I believe, New York City, they're starting to lock up the homeless in them. Like, they got a choice. You either go to jail or go to these FEMA camps. And then you would think that they would be able to let them out. Well, no, they have to put in a request to get back out the gate. There's guards at the gate. So, yeah, those are getting ready to lock up our homeless and stuff, and I think probably the next ones that will be used for are the ones that refuse these vaccinations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As for the asteroids, I did catch something, and I didn't catch it all the way, but I know they've been shooting these lasers up into the sky for some reason, and I know it's like a dual laser, so I'm not sure exactly how to explain it. Mm-hmm. One, there's a center core laser that shoots up, but you can only shoot a laser so far, I guess. And then around it, there's an outer laser to help, like, I guess, energize that one to make it.
Yeah, it's a proton. I saw this being activated. Alien Dave out of Utah, who was out near the West Desert, the Dugway Proving Ground, was one of the first individuals to catch on video or on camera these lasers that were being fired from a laser gun out there in the desert, and no one knew what these lasers were used for, and they speculated it was to bring down alien craft or to bring down asteroids or at least near Earth objects that pose a threat, or to even black out or destroy enemy satellites that are low Earth orbit satellites. Now that technology exists, and it is talked about in the CFR report that I brought up.
So, yeah, so do you think, I mean, that's your first thing I thought when I heard your program tonight talking about the asteroids was, yeah, those lasers, maybe they are being used somehow to direct an asteroid pull or something.
Well, I mean, you know, they've been wanting to lasso one for some time, but anymore, you look at these laser structures, the way they're set up at these bases, whether it be out in the middle of nowhere or anything, kind of reminds me of that old game Missile Command,
where you fire these lasers up to destroy whatever's coming down out of the sky, whether it be asteroids, bombs, or planes, or whatever. So, yeah, that technology exists. The only thing is how are they applying it and why, and are they applying it now without us knowing about it? So you are onto something with this. It's like one big asteroids game, or it's one big, it's one big missile command game, if you want to look at it that way.
One big somebody's game.
Yeah, the only thing is there are no winners, it seems.
Blast. Now, what was that mentioned about the EMP blast?
Oh, it's in that report. It talks about all of the possible things that could happen, whether it be a war with the weapons that could bring down low Earth orbit satellites, whether or not there is an unspecified space danger that is forthcoming that we need to deal with. EMP blasts. They don't mention that they do mention the EMP blast by name, and they do mention jammers, all kinds of other apparatus that can be used to bring down satellites, to bring down space infrastructure, space matrix. So they're kind of saying that we're looking at a space disaster that could be forthcoming, and it could be a number of things that could cause it, and would create a vast amount of space debris if we find ourselves having a war in space, which I think that this is something that we have pointed out with Carol Rosen's testimony with regard to Wernher von Braun, and, you know, all the other people that have said that the future is the wars are going to be fought in the skies rather than on the ground. And it just seems to me that, you know, it's a given that maybe a lot of the UFOs we're seeing are space platforms we fired and sent up there. We do have a space plane that's been flying around. No one knows why. And all kinds of experimental aircraft that have been seen. So it just seems to me that a lot of strange things are being revealed about space, and eventually we'll find out the truth.
Well, I just hope on our side it's not a shoot first and ask questions later, and we don't end up shooting at the good guys coming to help us or something, and that's what starts it all.
Well, that is if the aliens are the good guys, and, you know, whether or not they're throwing rocks at us, which a lot of people have speculated could be the aliens are throwing those asteroids at us. I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of things. There are a lot of things to think about. I'm sure there are more practical things that we can think about as well. But when they say unspecified space dangers that are forthcoming, my eyebrows raise, especially after the B612 report of 26 asteroids being actually exploding over this planet, many with the power of hundreds of kilotons, far more than what happened at Hiroshima. So, Sam, I thank you for your call. Thank you so much for listening to this program.
Thank you so much, Clyde.
Take care. Good evening. You bet. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. It's a game of asteroids. What's up? We'll be back. Keep it here. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
York says he was just driving along Route 26 in South Paris Saturday afternoon about 5 o'clock when he noticed what looked like a fireball in the sky. He grabbed his mobile phone and started recording.
And NASA is downplaying a rather alarming report about a possible asteroid strike on Earth.
The idea that an asteroid could hit the Earth one day, NASA has a very serious proposal. Why not go into space and try to capture one?
Boom, boom, boom.
I'm going to blow up the Earth.
Yeah. Well, you sure picked a nice day for it.
My screen's full. They're all over the place.
Pokies are breaching the atmosphere from Finland down the North American seaboard.
Bombing up,
You are listening to Ground Zero. Numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Looking out of the skies, what do you see? Do you see some unspecified space danger out there? Danger, danger, yeah, what? We don't know. CFR seems to think there's something out there. B612 report said that we've had 26 explosions, ranging anywhere from 1 kiloton to 600 kilotons, and that is not nuclear weapons, asteroids. 888-673-3700. It's 888-673-3700. Go to John in Florida. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clive.
Hey.
I remember watching or listening to a radio station where they had Tom Horn and Chris Putnam on, and they wrote two books, Exo Vaticana and Petrus Romanus, which they talked about the last pope.
Yes.
These guys were able to visit a Vatican observatory in Arizona, which is built on Indian sacred ground, which they don't even know how they even got away with that.
Right.
But they were able to visit and get inside this place and talk to the priest astronomers there, and they had their telescope, they said, trained on an object that in deep space that they were watching that would probably affect Earth. Now, they never told these two guys exactly what this object was, but and what's even funnier is one of the scopes that they have at this observatory, the name of it is Lucifer, which is an acronym for it, but the name of that telescope is Lucifer.
Yes, it's an acronym for some infrared. The full acronym escapes me at the moment. I'll have to find it, but yeah, Lucifer is an acronym for the telescope.
So they're watching something. The Vatican knows. I agree with you. They know exactly what's going on.
Seems to me they do, and it seems to me they're trying to they're keeping the information suppressed. I had heard that Vatican Radio or Italian Radio was saying they were going to disclose something they found, some anomaly in space they found, but they never did, and that's the thing that really bothers me, is they never did say anything, but I did hear rumors that they were going to disclose something. But here we are now talking about the asteroids, we're talking about the unspecified, you know, space threats, and of course you're talking about the telescope. For those of you that don't know, yes, there is a large telescope. It's near Mount Graham in southeastern Arizona. And it's part of the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope Program, the VATT. It's called the Large Binocular Telescope Near Infrared Utility with Camera and Integral Field Unit for Extragalactic Research. Lucifer, for short. And you're right about that. It's called Lucifer. It's hard to say, right? Large binocular. I mean, they take the B out. But, LBTNIU, yeah, they call it Lucifer for short, just because it's so confusing.
These priests also stated that they were annoyed. They've watched so many spacecraft in deep space that they were actually like a nuisance after a while, that they didn't even care about the spacecraft they could see in deep space, that they were trained on this object, and and when they found out who these guys were, and they wrote this book on the last pope, they weren't too happy in the end, because these guys got in without the Vatican knowing who they were.
Now, Chris Putnam, I should be having him on the show soon, didn't Tom Horn and Chris Putnam say, though, that they were focusing on the possibility of an alien savior or an alien arrival that they were keeping their telescopes on, and there could be some sort of an alien revelation in the near future?
They also stated that. They were vague on what they told the guys, though. They just said they were trained on an object in deep space that could possibly affect Earth. They were vague on what they told them about it.
Well, I'm sure that if there is anything that's going to be announced, it'll be announced soon, because it just seems to me there are a lot of crazy things going on, and we're hearing, you know, bits and pieces from investigations, astronauts, former scientists. We're hearing NASA talking about how they have found possible evidence for life on Enceladus, possible strange anomalies on Mars and other things, more of these habitable planets, they say, that are out there. So, yeah, they're eventually going to have to come clean with us about what's happening. I don't know if it's a space danger or a threat, but it most certainly has to be revealed that something is out in space and that the Vatican knows about it and several other people know about it.
I agree, definitely. It'd probably be right at the bitter end. And,
right.
And if you are stockpiled with food, I mean, what good is it going to do you, you know?
Well, I mean, it'll help you in the meantime when everything shuts down and you can't go to stores or you can't do anything. You just remain at your house eating your food. I think it will do you a lot of good to be prepared. But be prepared for anything. I mean, you never know what it might shut down. You never know what they'll try and confiscate and try to hoard in the end either, you know?
Exactly. I agree with that.
Anyway, John, I appreciate you calling in.
All right, Clyde, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Barry in San Diego, California. Hi, Barry. You're on Ground Zero.
Clyde, how are you? Sorry to bother you two nights in a row, but I called last night and called Religion a Fairy Tale. So this show tonight is to get me to convert over to Jesus Christ, isn't it? This is some scary stuff, man. I'm telling you what.
Oh, believe me, I'm getting accused of converting people to Mormonism, too. So
yeah.
I have to watch my back. Somebody said that I was quoting the Book of Mormon last night, and I don't remember quoting any of the Book of Mormon last night. I only remember one person calling me and talking about Mormonism, and I had to say, well, you know, okay. But no, I don't know. If this converts you to Jesus and brings you to Jesus, then I guess maybe I'm doing my job. I don't know.
Hey, well, you know, I do joke around a little bit. But, yeah. You know, I did want to ask you, though, about the tapestry behind the Queen and the Pope.
Right, the cosmic embrace.
Just recently.
It's called the cosmic embrace, yes. Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about it pretty deep a couple of nights ago, and I couldn't hang with everything that you were going on about. So I was hoping that you might be able to get into it a little deeper. And I guess another question here is, were there any clues about this, the topic tonight, and or the Sumerian Anunnaki thing at all in that tapestry?
Well, the only thing that I could find in that tapestry that's of merit, I remember I talked about this, I can't remember what show it was. It was a few shows back when I was talking about the Cardinal Cross. Remember that? Or the Cardinal Crossing?
Yeah.
It was when I was talking about the Tetrad. And I was...
Exactly.
Yeah. What I was actually alluding to, or what I was talking about, was that this cross, it's called the Cardinal Cross, which we are supposed to be entering into, the Grand Cardinal Cross, actually talks about major changes happening, and we're supposed to be going through what's called the Quantum Gateway. We've already began our journey through the Quantum Gateway. That began today. That should be going on well into the end of the month, and you'll be seeing major transformations and expansions and all kinds of other quantum shifts. Now, the advent of this whole thing all happened after this whole Tetrad Blood Moon John Hagee thing was being talked about. And basically, a lot of astrologers were saying that you need to stay awake, be aware, have faith, be brave, and be prepared to face anything, including your own death. I thought that was a little harsh. They were saying that this whole four-planet deal is going to be like a four-car pileup, and it's all going to be going down. I mean, first we have the Passover moon, then we're going into the Cardinal Cross, and you're looking at the Tetrad and the Cardinal Cross. Now, I looked at this tapestry again after, I mean, when we talked about this, when we did Reborn X, we were talking about... Planet X and all this. And we had this Abrazio Cosmico, which, of course, is the cosmic embrace. And what I pointed out is that all of the symbols that are on this tapestry, the symbols represent Capricorn, Libra, Cancer, and Aries. And these zodiac signs are precisely the same signs that are making up the Grand Cardinal Cross, which is the quantum gateway, which, of course, this shows a gateway on the tapestry, that is supposed to transpire beginning tonight, the 23rd, well into the end of the month. And these signs, both all Capricorn, Libra, Cancer, and Aries, will influence major changes on the planet beginning tonight into the end of the month. So the alignment is set. The moon has already gone red, but we'll have Mars aligned with Libra. Mars, you know, of course, is the bringer of war. We move it to the Grand Square, and then we have the Cardinal Cross, and then we see other alignments taking place, and they all will align at the 13th degree, which is also interesting because the number 13 has been associated with bad luck and threatening revolutionary upheaval. So something's going to happen. Tonight, of course, is the beginning of the Grand Cross influence. Tomorrow there'll be an event or some event that will show signs of some upheaval, and it'll continue. Now, I just got word that they impounded the cattle at the Bundy Ranch tonight.
Is that right?
So we may be hearing about something by morning, if anything. But yeah, they impounded his cattle tonight. So they're making moves tonight on that ranch. So when we were thinking, wow, that maybe this is where it would begin. It would begin with the ranch. It would begin with, and of course, Mars, which I find interesting, as we're talking about Mars moving into the 13th degree of the Cardinal Cross. Mars is not only the bringer of war, but it's also the god of agriculture. So we're seeing this move into a farm, taking cattle away. And then, of course, other farms and other land are being threatened in Texas and other places in the country. And this isn't the only place where we're seeing this going down. It's happening everywhere.
Can I make another quick little thing here?
Sure.
Aside from that, which was great information, and thank you very much for that.
Right.
This is a little far out, but you were talking about Reagan saying that the event that could bring us all together,
mm-hmm.
and then so then they're wanting to get these particular countries together also. Well, could that be the coming together? Could they be controlling a big cosmic event? And
well,
that sounds way too far out there.
We all know the Council on Foreign Relations detects policy. In fact, actually directs policy. Hillary Clinton had said that, who was a CFR member. But they direct policy. They're kind of like a think tank that gives ideas to governments on what to do. And so when they talk about some unspecified space danger where we need to get together with other countries to make sure that we don't have a space war, or that we don't see low Earth orbit satellites being taken out by lasers, jammers, anything else, and perhaps asteroids, EMP pulses, aliens, I don't know, whatever this unspecified space danger is, they say that it is forthcoming, and it states that in that report, that Memorandum 21, space danger forthcoming. They don't say what it is, but they know that one is coming. So, you have to kind of look at that and say, okay, well, let's wait and see what that is. But in the meantime, we have these alignments to deal with and all these other esoteric things to deal with. And so depending on where your bread is buttered and where your thought processes lie, this could be a very interesting time beginning tomorrow.
Well, we certainly live in an interesting time, that's for sure.
Yes.
And, wow, thanks. I'm so glad to have a guy like you, to listen to and check out, man, because you're like I said before, I just love your show, and you're just dynamite.
Well, Barry, thank you so much for calling in tonight, and don't be a stranger. We love hearing from you. Take care.
Right on. Thank you very much.
Good night. Bye-bye. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Yes, the power of the Cardinal Cross begins tomorrow, goes well into the end of the month, so be prepared for anything. At least that's what astrologers are saying. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL. This is Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Coming up, I got a letter that was sent by a listener. I don't normally read these letters. If they're small letters, I read them. But this is a long one, and I think it's important that I read it because of what it deals with, and it's about tonight's topic. And it has some interesting points, kind of chilling points from a spiritual nature, as to when we look into the heavens, what we feel and what we sense. A lot of intentions, a lot of truths about what's in the sky. There's truth in the sky, and there are plenty of half-truths being given to us by the Council on Foreign Relations, a lot of half-truths being delivered about what really is happening in space and what we need to prepare for. So coming up on the program, I'm going to read that for you, and then we're going to get to the phone calls at 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. As we discussed tonight, space dangers are forthcoming, according to the Council on Foreign Relations.
And there is no specific threat being talked about, only that we do stand a chance of having some of our space assets being destroyed, whether it be through jamming, lasers, asteroids, EMPs, so many ways we can have them taken out. The CFR is very concerned about it. There's also the report from the B612 group, who says that they have been monitoring the Earth with infrasound recordings, saying that there have been at least 26 explosions that are not nuclear explosions, but asteroid explosions happening on the planet. So we are living in an active universe. Our planet is in the midst of some active bombardment from asteroids. But what is the space danger that is forthcoming, according to CFR? Just asking your opinions about that tonight on Ground Zero as we explore what our minds can offer tonight. We'll be back with more. Keep it right here. Don't go away. You're listening to Ground Zero.
FM News 101 KXL.
I mean, some of the scenes you will witness may appear to border on fantasy.
Stand by.
You have 5 seconds. Five. Information is free.
Four.
Three.
There
two,
is
hope.
One.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"We see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said, "The loudspeaker spoke up and said, give up.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. To set up this last hour of the program, I want to read a letter that I received. I don't normally read long letters, but this one seemed very poignant for what I'm talking about tonight, probably to get some conversation started as well with some of you about these unspecified space threats or these space dangers that are going to happen or that may happen, according to the Council on Foreign Relations. Earlier, we talked about this on the program because of the reports that have been released, the B612 report. You can look that up and notice that we've had 26 detonations from 2000 to 2013, 26 detonations, all between 1 and 600 kilotons, turning out to be nothing more than asteroids entering the Earth's atmosphere, some of them direct hits on the planet. Also, the CFR's Memorandum 21 that has been released saying that a space danger is actually something that will happen. It's a space danger forthcoming. But they won't specify what it is. A lot of people have an idea of what it is. But this letter, Mr. Lewis, it says, for tonight's topic about an unspecified space danger, it might be a setup for a global false flag. Consider that they only warn us with half-truths about their intentions. And what would an alien enemy logically do before invading our planet? Might they be referencing an assumed bombardment of our planet by some alien race for the purpose of removing our defenses to an invasion from space? This bombardment could involve asteroids, or it might use solar flares and space shockwaves to cause earthquakes and disrupt global electric grids. This threat, they hint at, is actually an extraterrestrial one originating from our own planet, because
This enemy alien force has occupied this planet for at least 42 centuries. These aliens are the fallen angels and their hybrid offsprings, mentioned sparingly in the Bible, and they will use their planetary false flag to eliminate resistance to their attempt for a unifying global government to enslave humanity under their kind. They have warned us that they have been preparing for some time and are ready to strike from the shadows. Using lies, deceptions, and false wonders, they will shock and awe humanity with global destruction falsely said to have come from heaven. But they will play their last card in their great conspiracy to enslave and then exterminate humanity. Again, aliens do exist, but they have already occupied us under the current global elite. Next, they will openly unite the humans under a planetary government lead by this elite class, consisting of Illuminati and others of Lucifer's seed. Eve's seed will be persecuted towards the goal of complete extermination. They seek to totally replace humans as the dominant species on this planet. Of course, they must corrupt or destroy the entire planetary biosphere to allow their kind to thrive on this planet, which is alien to them. This message is merely a brief summarization of the alien motives and plans. Also, there is scant space to give out all the evidence pointing to this alien conspiracy to cause the extinction of mankind, but recent suggestions give May 3rd as a day of destruction that they have been planning to unleash upon the whole planet. The sixth seal will occur at the designs of Lucifer to terrorize us into global hopelessness. They will bring about their world government to create a tyranny over humanity, and all who resist the lies will be targeted with death. But God will prevail and humanity will continue on this planet for eternity. Earth will be restored and man will thrive and prosper for countless generations to come. We must only endure in love until Jesus Christ returns with a relief force of angels. The Bible in the book of Revelation spells out the greatest science fiction story of global conflict and world cataclysms. In the end, all men will learn the law of love and dwell with God on earth. Stay in peace, love, and joy. What a remarkable way of looking at what this space threat might be. What's your opinion? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go to Thomas now in Tyler, Texas. You're on Ground Zero.
Howdy from Texas, Clyde.
Howdy, man.
Hey there. I was calling to fill you and your audience in on a discomforting dream I had the day before Thanksgiving last year. I woke up from a dream where it had me in a panic because in the dream I woke up to news reports of there being scorched earth, blackened earth in the East Texas area, which is where I reside. Not in any major cities, but out in the sticks somewhere. And in this news report, I could see blue tanks running around, which, of course, I would have chalked up to be the United Nations for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, my dream cuts for me watching this news report to where I'm trying to sneak, for whatever reason, I'm sneaking southbound on a county road, trying to get to some family property, and I can't get there because there's a military blockade at one of the county crossroads. And it goes from that point to where all of a sudden I'm standing in a storefront in the downtown area of where I live, and I'm there with my parents, and they're wearing clothes that aren't really looking too normal for them, kind of shabby. And I look at my dad and say, "What are we going to do?" And he just looks at me and says, "I asked the troops if I could go home and get some boots or some shoes or something, and they said no. So we should just be thankful for what we have."
Wow.
And then I woke up from the dream. The first thing I saw when I checked the news, which I'd done my best not to read the news that week, that was the day it was announced that China had said, "Hey, Japan, get out of the Senkaku Islands, it's ours." So it was kind of a discomforting moment of realization for me that day.
Right. Well, you do know that not only are we seeing land grabs with China and Japan, but we're also seeing land grabs all over the world, land grabs happening here in this country, not only with what is happening in Nevada, but now in your home state of Texas, we're seeing Texas ranchers being threatened with their land being taken away by the BLM. Same type of thing going on there. And In fact, someone had pointed out to me that I did a show. I can't remember who it was that told me I did a show where I talked about what was happening in Europe with the land grabs of the United of the European Union. What happened here in the United States? And they said it, I was saying this a year ago, and now here we are witnessing the same thing happening all over again. Not just with Clive and Bundy, but also with Ken Anderholt and several others who are ranchers in Texas, who are also fighting the BLM to keep their cattle and to keep their land intact.
Well, you know, I'll say this. I work in broadcast television, so I'm surrounded by news all the time. I work 12-hour shifts. So that's all I hear. But I'll tell you this much. You and some other late-night talk show hosts are the guys that I get my news from, because I've worked in this business for 10 years, and I'll tell you this. You can't trust a dang thing anybody tells you.
Well, Thomas, that really impresses me that you've worked in broadcast television news. You do that in Tyler?
I do.
Well, that's great. That's good to know that I have a comrade in television out there in Tyler, Texas, that listens to my program. I'm honored. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much. I think you're the biggest Paul Revere I've heard in years.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And from a journalist that does television news, I've always wanted, and I've done TV news. I haven't done it for too long, but I did a little while. But just knowing that there are people out there also in the television newsrooms listening makes me proud, makes me feel good.
Well, I appreciate your commendations and your comments, always.
Well, thank you so much. You have a great night.
You as well. Have a blessed evening.
You bet. Take care. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More Ground Zero to come. Don't go away. If someone added to the conversation, love to hear from you tonight. Open the dialogue, be the media, and we'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL.
You're listening to Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
Tune out of Carrie in Vancouver, Washington. Hi, Carrie. You're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde. sorry.
It's okay. Go ahead.
My first time calling into a radio show, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh, don't worry about it. You're among friends. Go ahead and talk.
All right. I have a kind of a belief that this space danger stuff that you guys have been talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Is actually going to be probably picking up in frequency and will eventually just become the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think what we're seeing is we're entering a dirty area in our galaxy. One galactic year ago, the last time we were in this particular part of the galaxy was the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I heard that somewhere, and I was trying to figure out where that came from. And yeah, someone was saying that that is the case. And I don't know. Also, the tetrad that we had is the same tetrad that Moses saw, the same tetrad that those who saw the crucifixion of Jesus actually experienced as well. You know that too. So we're going through some times that are doppelganger times that are really fascinating.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of wondering if there's some, you know, people, you know, higher up there are finally just now realizing it. Yeah, you know, I think I saw on Fox News, I think it was today or yesterday, that the U.S. is now talking about a manned mission to Mars, like within the next few years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, that's pretty convenient, you know, because, you know, I think maybe they're kind of starting to realize that we're getting into a dirty area. I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden we see a big exodus of billionaires all of a sudden moving to Mars.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about, well, you've heard about the Virgin Airlines situation where they want to have a space plane. And so the elite are working on, you know, space travel that's convenient for regular people that don't have to go through space training like an astronaut. So we are trying leaps and bounds to create a way to buzz off this rock if there's something that goes wrong.
I mean, kind of creating I guess you could call it a cradle of civilization somewhere else. And that could be the reason why we're going to Mars and why we're exploring Mars and talking about other planets that may be habitable, is because that seems to be the secret, is if we can find a way to beam off this rock and go somewhere else, then that would be, you know, perfect for a planet that's doomed, as NASA has been saying now. At first they rejected the doom and gloom. Now they're the biggest doom mongers out there. They're peddling it. They're actually thriving on it because of climate change and other things.
Right. But yeah, I think things are going to start to get real interesting up there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, you know, I'm waiting to see what these things are, because it just seems to me that I've always been of the opinion that we're going to be seeing a lot more space anomalies, whether, and I'm not saying, you know, alien spaceships, but it just seems to me, I think the conversation is being passed along to politicians in Washington. I think the conversation can't be avoided anymore. That's why it's creeping into talk shows. It's creeping back into our movies and into our literature. It really didn't go away. But a lot of people, you know, have a lot of angry things to say about those who see UFOs or whatever. And I say, look, unless you're calling it an alien spacecraft, it most certainly is an unidentified flying object. And I think we need to keep that in perspective. If there's something unidentified that's coming at us, whether it be an unidentified celestial body, a planet, an asteroid, or some sort of strange wave in space, we need to report it and talk about it, because these things are important. And if people look up and say, oh, it's nothing, it's a hoax or whatever, you know, we may, you know, overlook something that's very important. I remember there was something that I read back, I think it was in the 1600s or maybe earlier than that, in I think it was Luce, France, where something fell out of the sky. And they had this opinion, and science had not agreed, that rocks fell out of the sky. So they rejected the whole idea of asteroids or meteors for the longest time, but they didn't even open it up as a science until much later.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we have to have an open mind to this stuff, and in this way that we can discover new things and try to, you know, make heads or tails of what's going on this planet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah, you know, there's a Mayan calendar parallel to that as well, actually. You know, in 2012, the Mayan calendar was supposed to expire and whatnot, and nobody knew what was going to happen. And then a lot of people were saying, well, it's just a cyclical thing, you know, it's just a new cycle and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that particular cycle in the Mayan calendar that does cycle over was also, I'm pretty sure, I can't say for positive, I'm pretty sure that was also a galactic year, which I think is kind of interesting,
right?
Because they just happened to choose that particular time where it's what I believe is a dirty area,
right?
You know, in our galaxy. I don't know. It's just kind of,
well, it's kind of a cluttered area, and it's also a chaotic area too. And you may be onto something there, especially with sweeper effects going on. So, Carrie, great call. Thank you for calling in tonight.
All right, thank you much.
Take care. Bye bye. Yeah, it was in the year 1772. I actually wrote about this a long time ago. In the year 1772, a huge fireball. This is from an article that I wrote, oh gosh, years ago. It's entitled "Exegesis Apocalypse by Numbers," basically discussing that in 1772, a huge fireball was seen shooting across the sky over Luce, France. The fiery rock hit the ground and caused considerable damage. An investigation ensued by the Académie Française, the respected chemist Antoine Lavoisier said that there are no such things as rocks falling from the sky because there are no rocks in the sky. The result of his statements was that museums in the 18th century Europe threw out all of their meteorite specimens because they were humiliating reminders of superstition and mythology. The strength of Lavoisier's conviction was such that it helped to stop the study of meteorites for over a quarter of a century. And humanity does the same thing now. I mean, if in the 18th century, one scientist was able to stop the investigation of meteorites because he had enough power and influence to change the way critical mass thinks, then of course there are many scientists now that can do the same thing. I mean, people say, well, they were less sophisticated in the 18th century. They weren't as educated, therefore it's easily misled. No, I think our society now, I mean, we think we're so sophisticated, we somehow think that we are immune to being misled by powerful people whom we complacently believe have our best interests at heart.
We have taken for granted many times that certain individuals and certain things are true because we've not been taught differently, nor have we been given another story to ponder. So if we hear of a UFO or if we hear of some sort of a huge asteroid or something, do not reject it outright. Investigate it yourself. Because people with power are going to try and convince you that there's no reason to believe that there's something bigger out there, something bigger than we are. Just remember the story of Lavoisier in France, 1772, and the meteors. People were so ashamed in the 18th century of meteors because of what he said. Now we know the truth. Now we know the difference. Some space threat's out there. What it is anyone's guess. What do you think? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. More Ground Zero to come. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
More with Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero on FM News 101.
This one will miss us by about 15 minutes. 15 minutes difference, and that's it. It's the size of Texas. So this is a really serious business. It's coming closer than the satellites that are providing this broadcast around the country and around the world right now. It is something to think about.
It's not quite Armageddon, but it is massive, frightening, and getting closer by the hour. It's named DA-14, and it weighs 130,000 metric tons, more than a cruise ship.
Sequence starts, and it's getting closer. Six, five, four, three,
ignition,
two,
ignition. We have flame, and a great deal of smoke coming out of the bottom of that rocket. 8.9 seconds of the hold still, now it's moving. It is coming toward the top of the tower now. Flame belching out all around it. Now the deluge system is trying to cool it down. Millions of gallons of water pouring onto it. Here comes the sound.
If that doesn't impress you, it's half the size of a football field. And it's whizzing through space 8 times faster than a bullet fired from a gun. It will come within 17,000 miles of the Earth tomorrow. An astronomically close shave.
I'm Clyde Lewis, and this is Ground Zero. If you haven't been to the Facebook page tonight, you need to go to it. It's facebook.com/Ground Zero Radio. People are rushing to see the Good Friday Jesus in a pancake. I love Jesus in a pancake stories. I love the Mother Teresa cinnamon roll. Did you ever see the I don't know if anybody ever saw it, the Mother Teresa cinnamon roll. I loved the Mother Teresa. It was the Mother Teresa bun. But on Good Friday, apparently, a pancake came off a grill. I don't know exactly. It was at a cafe. And I just posted it. It says, Jesus pancake appears on Good Friday at cafe. Since we did the whole Jesus show last night. It says, a Norco cafe owner thought a waitress was joking when she discovered what looked like the face of Jesus on a pancake the morning of Good Friday. The cook who griddled up the pancake at Cowgirl Cafe didn't notice the face until server Amanda Greenfield, 18, spotted the bearded visage just as she was about to top it off with strawberries and whipped cream. I love these stories. Why do I love these stories so much? I just do. She was about to put strawberries and whipped cream all over the face of Jesus. It just, wow. And then she's like going, no, I can't do this. It is a holy pancake. Cafe owner Karen Hendrickson had to see the flapjack herself. I love the way they use the word flapjack. It's a pancake. Flapjack is funnier. It's like the difference between orange and banana. Banana is funnier than orange. Remember that if you're a comedy writer. I came out of the office to take a look, and sure enough, there it was. A smiling Hendrickson said, "We made thousands and thousands of pancakes here at the Cowgirl Cafe, and I've never seen anything close to this. My gosh, Jesus is on a pancake." Hendrickson texted her friends, family. She posted a photo of it on Facebook and contacted a local TV station. She kept what's been dubbed the Jesus pancake next to her in her office at the cafe, 2859 Hamner Avenue. All day Friday, she laughed when asked whether she was tempted to eat it. "Not at all. He did smell good, though," she said. I can just imagine, you know, knock at the door.
"Hello, I'm Satan. Eat the pancake. Put butter and slather butter all over the face of Jesus and put syrup on it."
Anyway, Hendrickson took the pancake home Friday. She put it in the freezer for safekeeping. Sales now seemed to jump, and new people turned up at the cafe Saturday. She tacked a picture of Jesus on the pancake inside the entrance after customers asked about the hot cake. While some coworkers and customers made a big deal out of the event, cook Rafael Constantin downplayed his creations, which he poured out by hand. "I made the pancake, and it came out like that," he said. Hendrickson said she believes in God but doesn't describe herself as deeply religious. She said the night before Good Friday, she prayed for God to continue watching over her Cowgirl Cafe. "Running a cafe during the recession has been tough. She and husband Gary downsized 4 years ago, selling the Norco house and horses to keep the cafe going. So it was a good thing on Good Friday that Jesus appeared on a pancake." She says, "It felt like a sign, and I'm very happy. Many people got chills looking at the pancake's picture." I mean, okay, so this is a lesson. I remember there was actually a tree that existed near my home when I lived in Salt Lake City that looked like the Virgin Mary. And what was really odd is it was just nothing more than where the tree got cut and sap was coming out of the side of the tree, looking very much like the Virgin Mary. People put candles and they put food and kids were going up to touch it. And I was thinking, you know, and they had to actually close the road near my house because they had traffic piled up to see the visage of the Virgin Mary in this tree. This is simulacrum. It's amazing what people will do. But if it's an image like Jesus, Mary, or any of the saints that show up on a thing, it's an amazing thing. That's why I say I love stories like this. They're funny, they're interesting, and they're spiritual all at the same time. And if people think I'm being sacrilegious, come on. It's a pancake that looks like Jesus, okay? I'm not sacrilegious. I just think it's funny that these things happen. These are anomalies that I don't talk about normally, but they are hilarious. Now back to the matters at hand. Space, fear. Or would you rather talk about the pancake Jesus? I mean, come on. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Let's go down to Sharon in Vancouver, Washington. You're on Ground Zero.
Oh, Prophet Clyde Lewis.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
I love your program. I just love everything about it and thankful for your intelligence.
Well, thank you for listening to my show.
You inspire the world. And for those that are asleep still, I hope they wake up. But on this evening's show tonight, what you're speaking about, I took a picture last January 4th of 2013. And when I looked at it a little bit closer, I could see something streaming down in a pattern coming down from somewhere out in space into our atmosphere. There's a white trail of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one coming straight down near where that one ends. And so I thought I would post it tonight on your Facebook to get some kind of comment.
Oh, I saw that. Was that the one with the trail coming down?
Yes.
When I saw that, you know what I thought of? I thought of the Mayans when they said that serpent ropes would come down out of the sky in 2012.
Did you ever read about that where the Mayan elders said that when they get near to, you know, 2012, this was back when everybody was afraid of 2012, they said that serpent ropes would come down out of the sky. And I always thought that serpent ropes were like maybe the aurora or something else, like the aurora borealis, that it would be like a serpent rope coming down from the sun. And that's what it looks like. It looks like some sort of a trail behind it. Is that what it is?
I'm not sure what it is, but it was very fascinating when I took it, and I had nowhere to really share it with anybody that had open minds, so I thought I'd post it tonight. And
yeah, that's the first thing I thought of, actually, Sharon, was the serpent rope. I go, it just reminds me of those tales, those old Mayan tales of the serpent rope and how they'd be seen. Yeah, exactly.
And I loved all of the Mayans' legendary stories, and I have taken some pictures recently that look like a bunch of serpents coming down in cloud form, but I'm not going to go there.
Well, I mean, you know, once again, I mean, you know, I just find the way the mind puts things together sometimes. And then, you know, there are things, it's like when people say to me, well, that's not really real. I mean, it looks like it, but it's not there. And I'm like thinking, look, if the mind sees it, it's real. Regardless if it's simulacrum or pareidolia or whatever it may be, it's certainly something the mind sees. And if the mind is seeing it, does that mean it's not there? I mean, even if it's clouds or if it's in the stars or if it's somewhere. I mean, that's what they saw when they made the constellations and when they drew the pictures of the Great Bear or Sagittarius or Capricorn or any of these other characters in the sky. They saw them up there, too, because they meant something. These types of images mean something to people. And they try to assess them in that way. And they're very powerful images. They're very powerful signs and wonders in the sky. And that's why I think it's important we talk about it. It's all part of our belief systems. It's all part of our mythologies. And it's right there. And I find it fascinating.
Well, it is real. I mean, my eyes don't lie, for one. And for two, whatever it may be real to one person may be different to another, but it's still real regardless of what it is. There are a lot of mysteries that we may not know the answers to right now, but that may be revealed to us later, and with hindsight we can say, oh yeah, that is what that is.
Yes.
But I want to encourage people to look up. A lot of people don't even look up at the sky, and I've been a sky watcher my entire life.
Yes.
And I am fascinated with the whole picture of life, with everything in creation, and it's a journey. And
right.
It really is an inspiring journey when you have other people that talk about these things that are simply more than just getting in your car, going to work, and coming home.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think that a lot of people are so in such a fast lane mindset that they don't stop, like they used to say, stop and smell the roses.
Mm-hmm.
You can apply that to literally stopping and just sitting still for a minute and looking up and around. And then once you start experiencing something that you've never experienced before, I think it will intrigue you enough to start paying attention to the bigger picture of life.
That's certainly true. As above, so below. And there's so many things above us that we need to pay attention to. I agree with you, Sharon. I really do.
Set the ego down and realize that there's something bigger in life that created everything else.
That's right. And when you do look up in the sky, you are inspired to believe that something greater out there did create us. And that out there is home and that we're all made of stardust. I've heard that before, that we are all made of stardust. And I think that's important to remember. So, Sharon,
and I know the more that I've seen, the more that I get to experience, it just opened up in stages in my life, and I'm really amazed at how much I get revealed to me, and I wish others would just enjoy that in life, too, instead of being afraid. It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, it's a remarkable time to be alive, and it's a remarkable time to look up in the sky. Sharon, thank you so much for sharing that with me. And, if you go to the website, go to the Facebook page at Ground Zero Radio, you'll be able to see that posted. It'd be right there. It looks amazing in the sky. It looks like, like I said, the serpent rope spoken of by the Mayans. It's amazing. Sharon, thank you for your call.
Thank you. And I love the Jesus pancake story, too.
You're going to love it when you see it.
I
love Jesus, too, even if he's in a pancake or a burrito. I love it. Anyway, take care. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. I like Elvis stories, too. Elvis in a pancake, Elvis in the tortilla. Princess Diana in the clouds. I mean, I love that stuff. It's like, you know, where does it end? We're just laughing. We'll be back.
FM News 101 KXL. More with Clyde Lewis on FM News 101.
This is not a test. It is the future. Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis.
You should read the comments about the Jesus pancake already. Some of them are hilarious. Some people say that they see Charles Manson in the pancake. I can see that. Somebody says it looks like a drunk Ace Frehley accepting the award at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which I think is also hilarious because I just watched that as well. Ace Frehley, the lead guitarist of Kiss, that now has a beard and long hair, doesn't wear the makeup anymore. Other people say they have no respect for America anymore, that we're too stupid if we look for Jesus in a pancake. I just think it's a funny, it's a freaking pancake, okay? And the image that comes together can either be Charles Manson or Jesus or the lead guy in the Grateful Dead, Garcia, you know, could be Frank Zappa for all we care. It just looks like Jesus. Somebody even said Jim Morrison. I can see that. A fat Jim Morrison doing poetry with a pancake. Right? The killer awoke before dawn. He put his boots on. He took a face from the ancient gallery. He walked on down the hall, and he put a pancake in a pan. Father, yes, son, I want to slather you with syrup. Anyway, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We go to Diana in Florida. Hi, Diana. You're on Ground Zero.
Hi, sweetheart. I just want to tell you that Good Friday program scared the P1 on me. I gave it to the number 2, that StopTheCrime.net, to my friend Homeland Security and to my bishop. And tonight they're starting to interview. I go to bed at 10 so I can listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You said that Red Moon's starting something because you were off for 10 minutes. You got to watch the FCC, darling.
What, did they take me off for talking about the pancake Jesus?
Oh, that's cute.
Oh, I hope not.
It's your sense of humor. And you have to keep that going. That's who you are, Clyde.
Oh,
you have to find something to laugh about every day or you'll lose your mind.
Oh, but I do. I find a lot of things. I have a very, I mean, people think I'm some stoic guy who just, he's such a conspiracy nut. I'm such a conspiracy nut. Now, I get a sense of humor. Otherwise, no one would be able to live with me. They wouldn't be able to deal with me. They'd hate me. A lot of people do hate me.
I'm quackers anyway. My son does.
Well, that's okay.
The Air Force pilot?
That's okay. It's like, you know, they think that, you know, you're a certain way and everything. And gosh, the hate mail I get, I'm thinking, you don't even know who I am. Why would you hate me? I mean, you'd realize that I'm a lot of fun at parties and all that.
Oh, I would probably be laughing the whole time.
Anyway. All right, Diana. Well, I'll check into that.
Be careful because that's
right.
What they did to John B. Wells and they did it to to Michael Savage, and that's how they started doing it. The FCC's got a lot of power.
Well, I hope they don't do it to me. I'm all careful and stuff, so I'll be careful.
Well, your name's back in the temple again for 2 weeks.
Thank you, Diane. I appreciate that. Have
a
good night.
For you all the time, Clyde.
Right.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye. Let's go to Brooke in Hawaii. Brooke in Hawaii, you're on Ground Zero.
Hey, Clyde.
Hey, bud.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Anyway, hey, we're talking about these asteroids, right?
Right.
Okay, I mean, you've been on other subjects tonight, so...
No, I just talked about the Jesus pancake because it distracted me, but go ahead about the asteroids.
So we're back to the asteroids. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, we talked about this before, but these are debris from Nibiru and from these planetary systems coming in that NASA hasn't told anyone about, that they're undercover.
You are the first person,
Brooke,
you're the first person to bring up Nibiru tonight. Why isn't anybody else talking about Planet X? We talked about Planet X about 3 weeks ago.
We talked about this before. I don't know. You remember me, don't you?
Of course. I'm just trying to think to myself, why is it no one has brought up Planet X tonight except you? I mean, all night long.
It is debris. It's been debris, and I film this stuff all the time. I film it, and I've been sending you pictures on your PDX at Clyde Lewis, but it doesn't go.
It's Ground Zero. Look, it's Ground Zero PDX at yahoo.com.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Clyde Lewis at PDX.
No, it's Ground Zero PDX. No, it's Ground Zero PDX, not at PDX. It's Ground Zero PDX. At yahoo.com, send your pictures of the strangest in space, your
Jesus pancakes and your Mother Teresa sticky buns. My way, I will love it.
I don't have any of the Jesus pancakes. Oh. I believe in Jesus, but I don't have any of the Jesus pancakes.
Okay.
But anyway, real quick, the best picture I got for you, and you're going to get it soon now that I got this address, is last year's what's over the sun, where is solar eclipse?
Sun dog, solar eclipse, that kind of thing. That's cool. I want to see that.
Okay, last year, I caught the picture of a lifetime that people would be begging for and asking for and everything.
Okay, well, don't make me beg. Send me the picture, groundzeropdx@yahoo, groundzeropdx@yahoo. I got to run, Brooke, but I'm looking forward to the picture. In the meantime, you know, send me your Jesus pancake pictures and your Elvis in a tortilla picture as well. I collect them. I love it. In fact, I ought to have a website called Tortilla of the Week or Pancake of the Week or even a crepe. That would work too. Can you imagine? Mother Teresa in a crepe? Good night.
FM News 101 KXL.